Hey everybody, welcome to episode 119 of Your Overseas Connection, the official podcast of G4TE.com, that's Gaming for the Elderly. And today, June 7th, 2011, it's E3 time. So I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, and not only is it E3 time, but this is like a reunion show, I swear. So as I stated before in last week's show, Mr. Reliable, Richard Primrose, is with us. Really, he's with us.
When
is Primrose Reliable? I'm sorry, I blew the surprise.
I'm here. Yeah, school degree, job done. Move on.
Job Mike? Done, moving on.
Mike, you there?
Well, now you're just surprised. You're spoiling all the surprises. You're like the press before E3. Jesus.
That was a question. Mike, are you there?
Primrose is now officially on the payroll of WikiLeaks, and he's ruining the show.
He is. Well, the voice you're hearing is Mr. Christopher Matthew, also coming back to the show with his dog in tow.
It wouldn't be a show without me and my dog. What's up, everybody? I'm back from the war and here to lay some news on you.
With a solid woof woof. And last but not least, Mr. Mike Chin returning from his filming extravaganza.
Yes.
Something.
I don't know what he's up to. Hello, yes. Gamertag, Chin Chinny, and PlayStation Network tag. Chini1985, and the changed password is... No, I was joking. Yeah, I'm not going to give that away.
Raul's in me.
There you go.
So yeah, guys, it's been a while.
You know what? If Richard Webster was here, this would be a true reunion show. It would be amazing.
It would be, but apparently he still has been locked up and is still sitting in a cell for laundering the 20,000...
Webster sent me a voice message thing over WhatsApp saying, look, just no words, just the intro to Flight of the Conchords on the guitar that he's actually playing. And I forgot to send him a song back, so I'm going to record a song over WhatsApp and send him one back.
So what you're telling us is not only is he laundering Ugandan dollars, but he's also now pirating music.
Yes, over WhatsApp.
Got it. Okay.
A free app for the Android and iPhone.
Got it. Okay. Well, I guess, outside of just a group hug, I guess maybe we can dive into a little bit of what we've been playing. And then, of course, being that it's E3, we're not really going to have news today, folks. We're going to have a lot of press conference information from E3. So we're just going to – we'll dive into that in a minute. But for now, let's talk about what we've been playing. All right, so what we've been playing, Chris, you seem to be the talkative one of the group, so why don't we have you go first?
Why don't I? Because I haven't been playing much. I played some more Might and Magic Clash of Heroes, which is the arcade strategy puzzler game that I told you about last time. And I have been playing L.A. Noir, which I'm sure you have talked about ad nauseum in my absence. So suffice it to say, I am liking it, all except for the chases, which I find to be frustrating and stupid.
So we actually haven't talked about it a bunch. We talked about it a little bit. We kept it spoiler-free because we were afraid you guys might actually care to listen to the show, and we didn't want to spoil it for you. But I know Mike has been playing it as well.
I know he
has some opinions as well about the game. So why don't we get you guys talking? Let's talk L.A. Noir.
Why don't we talk L.A. Noir? So I like the interview mechanic. I think that's clever, although sometimes I think it's a little bit vague. I get it wrong a lot. Maybe that's just because I'm silly. But sometimes it seems like, you know, dude will have some shifty eyes, and then I'll look through the evidence. I don't have any evidence to refute his statement, so I'll doubt him. And that'll be wrong. I'm like, well, what was I supposed to do? You know, it's cool. The driving is Grand Theft Auto style driving, so it's not all that awesome, but it is. It's good enough. I do like that the siren seems to mean nothing to the citizens of Los Angeles. They don't really care.
So, no.
Yeah. I've done a lot of damage to the city of Los Angeles because they don't get out of the way for my siren.
I was going to ask, how many pedestrians have you taken down?
I've only gotten two pedestrians. Unfortunately, one of them was a uniformed LA patrolman.
Yeah, they looked down on that.
Yeah, I think that went poorly in my evaluation.
Oh, that'll be brought up at the next meeting.
But no, I've been having fun with it. I like the investigating of the crime scenes and kind of piecing everything together. The stereotypical Irish police captain is suitably annoying. I'm having fun.
All right.
I'm only on to the homicide desk, so I haven't got very far.
Okay. Well, Chris, I'm going to come back to you in a second on this. So, Mike, let's have your thoughts on the game.
First of all, I love L.A. Noir. I think it's brilliant, obviously, because I'm a Rockstar fanboy. I do love it. I don't think it's perfect. I do think there are things in it that kind of, I wouldn't say make me angry, but just knock at me a little bit. Just kind of, you know, whatever. And one of the main ones is, it's very easy. L.A. Noir is very easy, I think.
Now, see, I'm gonna question that. Are you saying it's easy because basically you cannot fail a mission? You will always solve the crime, no matter what.
Is that? I mean, there's also,
because that certainly does make it feel easy. But
yeah, I think
I find the interviews
scared. No, I think like the interviews and telling if people's lying or something, that's quite difficult. I've got that wrong sometimes. But they're so scared that you're going to miss a clue that they'll give you a clue somewhere else. Right. The same clue somewhere else.
Like 50 matchbook covers laying around the house.
Exactly. Yeah. There's like, you see somebody's like, there's a bowling pin at one point. I don't know if you got to that bit, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bowling pin.
Yeah, I finished the game, so.
Oh, you finished it, right? Yes. So there's this bowling pin, and then you go out and you see the guy who delivers the thing, and he's like, he mentions a bowling alley, and then somebody else mentions a bowling alley. I'm like, right, I get it. I've got to go to a fucking bowling alley. I get it. You know, there's that time. It's like, they're really scared that you're going to miss something. So, yeah, Chris, you wanted to chime in.
Well, I was just going to say, so the challenge in this game for me, you know, the cases are kind of, it seems, no fail. But the challenge is in trying to get a 5-star rating, because that can be difficult. Yeah. I've 2-starred a couple of the cases, probably from running over the LAB cops.
Don't you think that, like, you don't realize that until about, you know, 3 or 4 cases in, and then for a second playthrough, you're gonna nail it anyway, aren't you?
I have to say, second playthrough for me is extremely questionable.
Yeah.
Unless
it's achievement driven, like which it will be for me, but for somebody like you, Greg, you know, I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think you would go back and go, I'm gonna get all those achievements. You're not that type of gamer, whereas I am, and I love Rockstar.
Right. So, now, I think I would have gone back had this. Okay, so here's one of my gripes is that there's two main gripes I had from the interviewing area. And because it's such a core mechanic to the game, I felt that the flaws really kind of took away from replayability in my eyes. Because one, it's very difficult for you to miss evidence and, in a sense, kind of get something wrong in terms of the overall case. You're never not going to complete the case. You will always come to a conclusion in the case. There are a couple times where you can, quote-unquote, you know, you can, you know, charge the wrong person. Still, it kind of pushes you through everything. And there isn't enough variation or different pathways to the cases that I feel like I'm ever going to really want to go back in and be like, oh, well, you know what? Maybe there's a completely different avenue I could go for this case.
I agree. Yeah, I think you're right. Like, I mean, the branching paths are really, you miss this line of conversation, you know, or you miss this line of dialogue, or you miss this one clue that led you to a place that you're already going to. So I agree that with you, Greg, that, like, yeah, there's not enough there. There's not enough, you know, we always hear of games having branching paths and things like that, but they never really deliver. And I don't think L.A. Noir delivers with branching paths, but it's still, I think we're down on the game. It it's an amazing game. It's a brilliant game. I love it. Like, I think it's slick, right? It's so flush and polished and nice, and the faces, oh my god, I don't think I'll play another Rockstar game without this face technology again, because it spoilt me a little bit. I love them. I love how I can't stop looking at them, you know, like how great they are. And like, I'm scared now, if I go back to Red Dead Redemption or Grand Theft Auto, I'll miss it, because the faces in Grand Theft Auto are not that great. They're better in Red Dead Redemption, but they're very pale and gauntly, and you know, they don't look great. But like in this, they're just so cool. Like, they're so interesting, you know. And I think the game's such an achievement for like, you know, telling a story. And I've seen kind of arguments that like it's not a game; it's a film that you kind of move forward in. And you know, I can't really argue that it is. And again, that kind of goes with my argument with it. It is very easy. They hold your hand all the way.
But you do get to headshot people, so.
You
do get to headshot people. But kind of going towards Chris, what we were talking about before the show, Mike, do you feel like, you know, the chase sequences and the shooting sequences,
they're
tacked on? They're just tacked on gameplay elements?
You know what I wanted with the chase scene? I wanted for the guy to get away for a while.
Yeah.
Because I knew I was going to fucking catch up with him sooner or later. Now, there are some chase scenes, in the main missions that are really interesting. Like, I don't want to spoil too much, but there's ones where you're running around like a movie set. Right.
And see, I hated that one because there was no ending it until you got to the scripted end of it.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm talking about the second one.
I haven't got to the second one yet.
I don't know if there's a second one, but there's. Maybe I'm talking about, because you do go back to that movie set later on anyway. Major spoiler, you can't play the game anymore. Sorry.
Yeah, done. You owe me $60.
But you do go back to that set, and they change it up a little bit.
Right.
There's no chase there, but I mean, the chases are like you run after him. Eventually, you're gonna catch up with him, and you know you are. And I was like, just fucking get away for once. Like, throw something at me. Like, run me over or something. I don't know. Do something with me.
And here's the thing, Mike. So on those particular, there's two different kinds of chases that happen. There's case file chases where a suspect or whatever might take off that's part of your case. And then there's random calls that you can basically go to. And in those instances, sometimes the suspects that you come up to will take off running. In the random events, if the suspect gets away, he gets away. And it just says you failed to catch the suspect. And I believe it will, in a sense, kind of make you redo –
It'll take you out and like it'll put you by a position where you can do it. Yeah, like quite close, so you can do it.
In the main case, it also has basically this fail system. So if the suspects get away from you, you fail the case, and instead of, you know, it continuing on, it actually reboots you.
Yeah.
And this was absolutely my biggest disappointment, because I thought, you know, how great would it be? Suspect gets away.
Got away. Yeah,
now
yeah.
you have to go down a different path of evidence and trying to piece together the case.
You don't have the guy. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I agree. Look, and to be honest, like we're kind of moaning about such minor things, you know, because I'm sure you agree, Greg, that it's a great game.
It is a very good game. I I'll say this: it's not my game of the year contender. I think at this point,
it's going to be Chucky, right? I don't know if it's going to be mine either.
It's not that shocking, to be honest. As much
I love Rockstar. Like, I love Rockstar. I love this game. I think it's a brilliant game. I'll play it again. I'll probably play it about 3-4 times. Right, but I see all the flaws in it. I see like your point with it. Like, I'm willing to forgive them a little bit more because, you know, I licked their ass a little bit. But you know, like, it's a shame really that they didn't vary up a little bit, like with, like you say, like the man doesn't get away and things like that. But I do think that they've done so much that is right with this game. Presentation, you know, what you see in a review, right? Presentation, like 6 out of 10 or whatever. And like some people don't really know what presentation is. And what I think presentation is how the game entices you, how like slick everything is, how nice are the menus, how you know when you like Dead Space. Has great presentation. You play Dead Space and everything looks cool, right? Even the menus look cool, Right, it reminds me of that bit in The Simpsons where Milhouse puts his name in that game Bloodstone, and he's blown away. He's like, I've only put in my name, because if a game hooks you in, you're invested. And L.A. Noire does that so well, right? It does it so well. So I don't want anyone to think that I don't love L.A. Noire. I love it, and it's so good that you've got to try it. But it's not the perfect game. It's not
going
to be. Like a definite, it might be my game of the year, but it's not going to be a definite game of the year.
Okay, Chris, what about you? What are your thoughts so far? Do you think this is a game of the year contender for you, or are you too early in it to know?
When's Mass Effect 3 dropping? Did they push that back to 2012?
2012.
So that's out of it.
Yep. You still have Modern Warfare 3, Battlefield 3, Skyrim, Batman.
Yeah, I was trying to think forward. I don't think this is going to be my game of the year. I like the game. It's fun. I think I will enjoy Skyrim much more. Potentially Battlefield 3. I like it, but I wouldn't. It'll be high on the list, but I don't think I'm going to give it number one just yet. I have been enjoying it though. Yeah.
Saints Row 3.
Yeah, the third. Yeah, that's.
Oh yeah.
But that I think that might be a sleeper. I don't think people are paying attention to that, and I think it's going to do really well. But I think it's going to be in a lot of top fives by the end of the year because it's so unique. Like we've never had a game like this.
Yeah, right? It's kind of like Heavy Rain in that it was so unique enough that it really set itself apart. Even with its flaws, it still was just highly regarded.
Yeah. My one final thought on the game is very early on. There's one case where if you're thorough. You can find an additional clue that you might not find otherwise that helps you resolve the case correctly and quickly. And I wish that they did that a little bit more with some of the crime scenes. Maybe they do, and I just haven't got to it yet. But I wish that was in there more.
Can't argue with that. All right. Chris, anything else on your end?
As I mentioned, I've been chasing cadets around the woods and throwing hand grenades at them. It's been good fun. Not real hand grenades, but no. So what's going on is the reason I've been gone the last couple weeks. I've got the rising seniors, the cadets that are less than a year out from graduating, and they're going through sort of their last army training. I say army training, their last, military task training before they graduate and go become lieutenants. So it's sort of my job with the group of 40 that I've got to put them through their paces, give them some challenging scenarios that they maybe haven't dealt with before, get them some stress and see how they deal with the stress. And I'm not really looking for them to make the right tactical decisions because they don't have enough experience necessarily to do that. I'm looking for them to be able to stay calm under pressure and keep making sound judgment decisions, as they go. So it's been interesting. I try to look at them and remember where I was, 12 years ago when I was in the same spot and try not to hold them to the standard of what I would expect of me with 12 years of experience. That's not really fair.
So basically the UPS cover story and the flogging of cadets and deliverance style antics was correct.
I do have a banjo, but that's about the end of it.
All right.
Yeah.
Mr. Primrose, let's move over to you, next. Give us a quick rundown, what you've been playing.
Not much change from last week, really. Coin drop, still loving that. God, that thing's got so many levels, it's unbelievable. And it's got portals in it as well. Brilliant. Great.
It's crazy.
Gripolis, still playing that. I've joined an alliance, yeah.
You haven't been labelled a cheater again.
Is that the guy that you got banned from, Rich?
Yes. Yeah. I've now conquered two cities, and it's great. I'm enjoying that. Did Forza Friday Night Racing. It's not dead and buried. It's alive and well. Betty Beer started it up again.
Okay.
So I was on that on Friday with all the fellas. We had some good laughs on that. It was good.
Excellent.
That was good. And then lastly, got a game for free on the PC.
Oh.
Free to play. League of Legends. Anybody heard of it?
I have heard of it.
Nope.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I have not.
It's very good.
A quick little rundown.
Yeah, it's basically, if you like Torchlight, you love this because it's got the same sort of look of Torchlight. It's got everything to do with picking up inventory and loads of stuff to pick up and stuff. You get cash, you can buy stuff. It's got good weapon branching off trees that you can add stuff to, and it does a good thing where it tells you what you need to get to make the most out of the weapon and so on. And it's also got like an RTS feel to it as well, because although you're moving around on your own, you've constantly got support coming to help you. So you can channel that, and as you advance through the map, there's also like engineers that will start putting up towers and stuff to defend your territory. But yeah, it's really good. It's got a lot of customization. This is where the microtransactions and all that lot come into play, because you can buy stuff. But I mean, I'm going through the tutorials and everything at the moment, because, you know, I want to get a full handle on how to do this stuff, because I'm not very good at the rippergers. MMOs. I'm having a dabble. Yeah, it's all right. It's good. It's worth trying out. It's free. Don't take long to download either. And I'm running it on a crappy-ass laptop as well, and it's running quite well. So anybody out there that ain't got top-spec rig, give it a go. It's worth a try.
Free is good.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Chin.
Yo.
How about yourself in your absence?
I'll play that line of war. That's good. Let's talk about that for another 20 minutes. you're a detective. I've also
Mike,
played...
actually, real quick.
What?
You know what? We never really got clarification. Did you actually harm goats in the filming of your movies?
Yes, all of them. Okay. Every fucking last one of them.
Never mind.
yeah.
Games. Yes, let's talk about games.
Computer games. I play Dead Rising 2.
Do you want to elaborate on that, or is that just that's the statement? I played it.
And like the co-op is shit. Like, apparently it's made by Canadian developers, right? Did I dream this?
No, I believe you are correct.
Right. Why? Because, like, cutscene after cutscene after cutscene, yeah, at the start, it just felt like a Japanese game made by Canadians. It was weird, right? Because I was trying to play this co-op with a friend, so, you know, we expected like an invite or a lobby system to get invited to at the start. Nothing. Like, I tried to start the cutscenes or whatever. It wasn't clear how to get a co-op game going. And then you can't just invite someone straight away and all this. And it was just odd. And then eventually got it working. And every time the person saves, the co-op guy gets kicked out. Right? And one of the big problems with Dead Rising 2 is you have to save a lot. Right? Because, you know, the save system is not so good.
Yeah.
So that was awkward. And then I play it on my own, right? And I just kind of play it for a little bit. And I get to a point or some boss or something, and I'm just like, I can't be arsed. I just cannot be bothered. And that's really hard for me to do, because I like to finish all my games. I just cannot be bothered sometimes to play this game. I just see sometimes, like, I just cannot be bothered. I switch it off. So it's really hard work for me. And I liked Case Zero, but I just find it hard work. I just don't feel like I can get into it, and I really want to finish it. So, not loving it at the moment. There's Dead Rising 2. I will give it more of a go though. I play that Outlands. Outlander, is it? Outlands.
Yeah. Woo.
Right, you need to pop the mic open then.
That was loud.
I know.
Yeah.
Someone's enthusiastic.
I played that game. And I didn't love it as much as I thought I would. I thought I would really like it. I thought I'd be into it. But I was just kind of like, it's alright. It's cool.
You're wrong.
Yeah, I know. But it looks nice. It looks nice. Again,
well, it looks nice.
It presents itself very well.
The presentation, excellent.
Yes, it is. And the animation is nice and all this. I'd be keen to try it in co-op, but I think I have to buy it to do that. So I'll buy it when it's on sale. The sale game.
Let me down again.
Yeah, well,
moving on.
Yeah.
What you play? What else you played?
I'll tell you what, you buy me, Rich, and then I'll play all you want.
No way, motherfucker.
I also played, very quickly, I'll talk about this, I played the Sega Genesis Collection or the Sega Mega Drive Collection. a little bit because of Gamerscore, because I'm in the Gamerscore challenge. And yeah, you know, just to play some of those Streets of Rage games or whatever. They're okay. So, but I've not been doing this Gamerscore challenge on G4TE. I've not been doing very well. Like, I haven't been playing a lot of Xbox. So I thought I need at least one cheap game to, I'm not going to go Avatar on everyone, but I need at least one game to kind of bleed some achievements out, because I don't want to end up last or something. So, yeah.
I won't worry about it, man. There's been King Kongs and all sorts flying around. I've been seeing really? The tweets. Yeah, oh yeah. It's not pretty.
All right. Well, yeah, let's finish up then with me. Pretty straightforward stuff for me. Finished up L.A. Noire, and we already talked about that, and just played some Homefront over the weekend, really.
Multiplayer.
I have been going back through actually playing it on the Gorilla level as well, trying to get through that.
Oh, yeah. How far are you in?
Probably about halfway through it. It is a lot of trial and error, because, I mean, they become deadly accurate, and bullets have much more effect on you. The enemy AI, thankfully, though, they are still stupid. So they're not the smartest batch in the world, but once they lock onto you and they start shooting at you, it only takes maybe one, two bullets to take you down. But yeah, getting through that. And the DLC DLC's coming out today, as a matter of fact. Looking forward to the map pack, and been just playing with the community. We had a fun play date on Sunday with the guys over in the LAG community. Got Duke to join up with us. And played a bunch of Homefront with a group of guys, and it was fun. It was good times. I think Stick was in there, joined up with us.
I like the fact that you got the real Defoe on.
Oh, yeah.
The show.
Yeah, he's cool, a good right? guy. He's a very good guy. But anyway, so yeah, that's me, done. So we are going to, I guess, move right on over to new releases. So right about now, we're going to smack Grandma around and fire up the old music box. All right, so new releases this week. Not a lot, but kind of surprisingly big titles, guys. All right, on the PS3, Infamous 2 out this week. Yeah.
You know what makes me happy about that? Carry on, Greg. I'll tell you at the end.
Red Faction coming to the PS3 and 360. Everything under the sun. We've got... let's see here. Operation Flashpoint, Red River, finally making its way out into the U.S.
For you guys.
Yes, for us. Xbox 360 and PS3 version. And, of course, everybody's Game of the Year contendee, Green Lantern, Rise of the Manhunters.
Oh, snap.
Movie tie-in games, always a winner.
Always.
On the old DSiWare, you've got Go Series Picton. Yeah, I know you're excited for that one. Mm-hmm. And, of course, if you haven't already done it, go download Kinect Fun Labs if you have the old Kinect. It's free. Supposedly, it's fun. Yeah. Hey, Duke.
Isn't that the one that's supposed to make your form, or what the hell is that thing called? Avatar look like you?
It indeed does just
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah. Duke Nukem, Critical Man.
What?
Yeah. Nintendo?
No.
DS?
No.
I'm not lying. Not lying at all.
My.
Yeah. And here, the biggest release by far of the week, Kevin Van Damme Fishing. Coming out on the PS3. Because everybody needs a good fishing game.
They need a video game of that River Monsters show. You know the one where he chases the huge fish? Like, a video game where a fishing game where the fish could actually, like, eat you? That, you know, that would be something.
Yeah.
They should make, like, a horror fish game.
Yep, yep. Well, you know what else, guys?
Dead River.
That's it. That's it for new releases.
Then you should talk about this game. I'm quite excited.
Yeah.
You know what makes me happy about Infamous 2, Greg?
I don't.
Like, because they're giving away Infamous 1 on the PS3. And your save transfers over, like, so some decisions that you made in 1 over to 2. So I'm really excited now because I want to play 1. So, because it's free.
Well, now I'm excited because I got Infamous free.
Yeah, we did.
Yep, and I've got...
Is it Infamous 3 as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was quick, wasn't it?
It's like, what was that game that came out for the other place, on the Xbox Live Arcade, and number 2 came out straight away?
Death Bank.
Yeah, it's like Death Bank. At least two or three straight after.
Back to the Future.
Maybe not as quick. But hey, that's the new releases for the week.
Ta-da!
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right, so no news this week, but E3 discussions.
E3.
Yep.
That's that E3 intro, you ready? E3, it's here. Great. There you go, done.
So how long have they been doing E3?
A long time.
Shouldn't this be like E20 or something?
Lol. The 3 actually stands for the 3 words that begin with E.
Yeah, there's some...
For a physics teacher, you're not very logical.
Name.
You're right. You're right about that.
All right. So here's how this is going to go down.
You carry on.
I'm going to carry on.
You're doing a great job, by the way, Greg.
I know.
Carry on. I'll find out how long E3 has been going for.
You find out how long E3 has been going on for. I'm going to say over 16 years. That's my first guess. But hey, we've got Sony, we've got Microsoft, and then we've got Nintendo to discuss. We're going to take Sony and Microsoft first. We'll hit the break, and we'll finish up with Nintendo. So let's dive into it. Sony press conference starts up, and basically the very first thing out of the gate, they address the PSN outage.
Boom.
I was kind of shocked.
Really?
I didn't think they had to do that. I wasn't sure they were going to really address it, but I guess they really had to.
No, they had to do it. Like, because if they don't do it, and even use the word elephant, right, as in elephant in the room, right, there would be an elephant in the room. Like, what? Like, that was absolutely the right move. I have to give credit to Sony. They did exactly what they needed to do. Right, they got it out of the way. They said, I'm sorry to everyone. And then they did the biggest apology to the people, to the public, the customers. Right.
Yeah.
And then they just moved on. They just went, right, let's talk about games. That's exactly what they need to do.
We're very sorry. We gave away all your credit card information.
Yeah.
Please don't leave us.
On an unrelated instance, Sony makes a lot of money from hacking devices. Right?
Now, Mike, yes, I know you actually watched the press conference.
I did.
Yes. We'll probably have you kind of helping me through the Sony press conference with Rich and Chris chiming in where needed.
If you go to veterangamers.co.uk, right, and currently it's the second story down because the Nintendo one's...
Why would you do that when you can listen to us?
Fuck that, right? So I'm not recording this podcast at 5 o'clock in the morning like I was writing this article, right? There's loads of videos. Anyway, there's loads of videos of all the trailers on this article. So maybe I should pass it up.
It's pretty informative.
Yes.
So we'll bring Rich in for Microsoft. I watched the Nintendo conference, and Chris more or less is just waiting like a wise man for everything to come to him. Like
he can be the neutral, though. He's the guy that wasn't there. You know what I mean? He can ask the questions. It's fine. Yeah.
Why climb up 70 stories to steal a painting from the top floor of a building when I can just take it from the basement, you know?
That's beautiful, Chris.
That is.
It's from a movie, Entrapment.
Okay, moving on.
Entrapment?
That was horrible, Mike.
Entrapment.
The funny part about the press conference is, Mike, you kind of hit it on the head. They did exactly what they needed to do.
Yeah.
I have to say, I felt that way about all the press conferences. Now, let's dive into Sony. Let's dive into Sony, okay? Yeah. Let's talk about Sony. So they lead off with Uncharted Drake's Deception. Uncharted.
Of course. Yeah, it's what everybody – I did a live blog thing. So as the conference was going on, I would write quick sentences.
Right.
So if you want, I can give you a bit, you know.
Give me your sentence as we go
when the Uncharted 3 demo started. So this is it. Uncharted 3 demo. OMG, rain. Drake is on a boat. He's on a boat, motherfucker. Drake looks tired. The boat looks like the Poseidon Adventure. Drake is still a mass murderer.
Great synopsis.
This is the information you can get on VentureGamers. I got it, you guys.
Uncharted 3, though, I mean, it looks great. It's not surprising, though. We knew it was going to be shown off.
This is what I've got to say about Uncharted 3. The jump from 1 to 2 was amazing. Like, we can all agree on that. It was such a jump that they stepped it up. You know, they changed the game, as they say in Epic Mealtime. Right? And but the problem is, once you set the bar so high, it's difficult to step it up so far again. So it looks like they're doing all the same tricks. In
right, the jump from 2 to 3 hasn't like really
diminished returns. Yeah.
But it still looks fantastic.
That,
yeah,
it looks brilliant. Like the water going on in the boat and everything, amazing. The way he leans over it, like the animation of Drake is still top notch. It's going to be brilliant. But I think it's more of 2, which is fine by me. Like I have no problems with that. Like, it's still going to be a great game.
All right, moving on. Resistance 3 then followed up. It looks like Resistance. I mean, I'm
yeah. I've never played a Resistance game, have you?
I've played a little bit of Resistance 2.
Has anybody here played a Resistance game?
Nope.
So, I mean, you know, it looks good. I don't think Insomniac's strong suit is a shooter like this. I think their strong suit is more of a kind of shooter platform game with, you know, where they can throw in comedy bits. And, you know, maybe that's just my personal preference for their style of development. But, you know, Resistance to me, it just feels a little, I don't know, generic.
Yeah, I'm with you, Greg. There's nothing about that trailer, that kind of gameplay that screamed out, I must play this. I think it gets a lot of love because it's an exclusive.
Well, yeah.
And multi-platform game, no one would give a shit.
And let's face it. It was expected to be shown. They showed it. So, I mean, you know, we kind of had to see it.
It looks exactly the same as 2 to me. Like, in fact, the 2 demo looked better because, like, you was fighting that giant monster thing.
Right.
In 2 in the demo, and I thought that looked cool. Like, but that level they showed, yeah. Just on some street, you know, like, who cares?
Yeah. So, next up, Sony went into a series of HD remakes. They announced the God of War series, the Eco, and Shadow of Colossus series.
Yeah, September they're coming out.
Yep. That's, HD remakes.
Something we didn't know, so Eco and Shadow of Colossus, September. And yeah, God of War Origins, which is not oranges, which I nearly said. that would be funny. Which is the PSP games, the PSP games.
Games.
What was the God of War that came out before? I thought they did a HD version of God of War.
They was the God of War 1 and 2 for
right,
the PS2.
Right, yeah.
These are God of War. I've just noticed I put the E on the end of War on this blog. I'm going to edit that out. These are the God of War PSP games.
Right.
Brought up HD and everything. So it's just, I mean, it is a bit of a cash cow. Like, it is a bit like, let's make some more money from God of War. But for people like me and you, I presume, Greg,
right.
who don't have a PSP, but kind of like God of War and would give these a try. It's a good, you know, I don't mind renting these and giving them a go.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, you said it was a bit of a cash grab. This next whole section of their press conference felt like the cash grab section.
Is this the 3D TV thing?
Right. So at this point, then they go in and they announce, not only did they announce Resistance 3, but then they announce this super bundle pack with Move, yeah. Resistance 3 and the Sharpshooter peripheral for $150. Then they had a PlayStation branded 24-inch display. It's a 3D display. It gives you one set of 3D glasses. It can allow up to 2 players to play in 3D at the same time, which is actually kind of cool tech. But again, you have to wear the 3D glasses to be able to use that. And it gives you an HDMI cable, all for the bargain bin price of $499.
Does it say whether or not the glasses are active shutter or passive glasses, you know?
I believe they are active shutter, but they're kind of a new, cheaper version. Sony was saying they were trying to bring out a more affordable version. In fact, I think they announced the standalone glasses price, but I didn't catch that.
Yeah. It looks like there's an ad here for some Samsung ones for $60. So that's a little bit more
They wanted to make 3D affordable, and then they come with $500, right? And everybody in the audience like just went, okay, yeah, good luck with that. It's ridiculous.
Right.
Trying to make it affordable, and they charge $500. That is not affordable for... They talked about dorms and families. I don't know. Like, I don't have kids and everything, but I can speak from a student point of view. $500 is not cheap for that kind of setup. It doesn't even...
When I was in college, that was 2 months' pay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, it's ridiculous.
Not really all that affordable.
No.
All right, so next up on the list then was NBA 2K12, which Kobe they Bryant showed up. Yeah, yeah, all kinds of move compatibility, which I don't know. Call me crazy, but the last thing I want in my sports game is more distractions on the screen. And as they're playing this basketball game, you know, you see the standard cursor where, you know, that highlights underneath the player's feet to show which one you're controlling. You know, that's a standard in all the sports games, right? Well, then suddenly you see this like target reticle from the move, and it was like bright pink, and it's like going all over the screen as they're basically using that for like pinpoint accuracy on passes and stuff. And I'm like, yeah. It just made the screen even more busy and convoluted, and I just was instantly turned off to it. I can't see that being a huge selling point for
it's so tacked on, doesn't it? It feels so tacked on.
Yeah.
Kobe was there doing his best. And I said on my live blog thing, the easiest $3,000 Kobe's ever made.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was on that stage for like a minute, and then he was off.
I think he gets $3,000 for like every free throw, so.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
This was Sony's free throw.
Was he was literally on the stage and, yeah, moves, yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, that's right.
Probably the funniest part out of that whole thing was when the developer picked the Miami Heat?
Oh, yeah. It was
the other team?
I couldn't relate to that at all.
Well, basically, the LA Lakers are out of the NBA Finals, and the Heat were one of the teams basically going for the championship and looking to take it all. It was kind of a slap in the face to Kobe. Let's just put it that way.
Does he play for the Lakers then?
Yes, Kobe plays for the Lakers.
Right, gotcha. I know who he is.
Yeah, he plays on the Lakers with Mark McGuire.
I only know because
basketball, just for the record.
I only know that because he was in the Black Ops trailer. That's the only reason I know who Kobe Bryant is.
Okay, so next up on the docket for Sony, Medieval Moves, Dead Man's Quest, RPG-like game. I honestly didn't pay a lot of attention to that. Then
to the guy who was like the person who was talking over it, he was really like awkward. He was like, "Hey, okay, so he sounded like the typical geek." And yeah, like, oh god, this guy's awful. Just get
there were some awkward moments all throughout E3. Let's just put it that way.
It wouldn't be E3 if there wasn't those awkward moments.
Yeah.
But this guy, and one funny thing I wrote down on the blog. I'll keep mentioning this because it's on veterangamers.co.uk. It should go. It's great. Great job, Jeremy, because this is what this geeky guy says. And then I saw a YouTube video of the demo, and the title of the YouTube video was "Great job, Jeremy." So I think it's gonna catch on.
Okay, but yeah. So next was the really curious move for me, and that was they demoed and spent some time talking about Infamous 2, a game that's releasing today.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? You know, it just felt at this point. I really was like, wow, they're really light on games for the PS3.
Yes. I thought that.
And then they talk about Little Big Planet 2 and move compatibility getting added in. Again, well, that's a game that's already out. But, I mean, you know, we knew it was coming, so why are we spending so much time talking about it? This is their way of pushing move, I guess. Then they brought up Starhawk, got Starhawk going.
They brought it up a bit, yeah, Starhawk.
Max, can't argue with that.
Yeah, I put in my live blog, Max OMG Murphy's Game of the Year.
Yeah, it very well could be there.
It looks like a cable game on Mars is what I put down.
Yeah. Well, if you've ever seen the series Firefly, that's exactly what this game reminds me of. Space
Cowboys. The series what they've been talking about on the Major Nelson podcast recently?
Yes, yes.
They keep going on about it. And
yep.
What was the film it got made into with a different name?
That was, I believe, Serenity.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Did we watch these? Apparently, like, people go mad if you haven't watched these. Are these good shows?
They're not too bad. It's the same guy that plays the main role in the TV series Castle. The lead role there.
All
right, never mind. Moving on.
It's the dude who played the leader of the ODST squad in Halo ODST.
See, now you're talking my language.
Sly Cooper, Thieves of Time got shown off. And, Sly Cooper. Yeah. Then probably their biggest exclusive new announcement, Dust 514, which basically is a downloadable online MMO game that ties in directly with EVE Online, which is a big PC MMO Space.
Is it downloadable? Is it a downloadable game?
It is a downloadable. It's not going to be on retail shelves.
I thought it was like a mag. Like a
okay.
Mag game.
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay.
Then let's see, from there, they brought out Ken Levine with Bioshock Infinite and showed some move support. And then,
Can I say what I did on my live blog with Ken Levine? It's quite good. It's Kenny Ken Levine. He looks like a cool guy, but his body language makes him look geeky. He's talking about how he bashed the move. He's bashing the move. Sony bought Ken.
Yeah.
And this is Sony talking. Say move is good now. And then, go on then. How are you going to jab it in your game, Ken? And then he doesn't talk about how he's going to put it. He says, I'm going to put it in Bioshock. But right. I'm not telling you. Bye. Yeah. That's all he did.
Yeah, so they don't know how they're going to incorporate move into Bioshock, but somewhere along the line it's going to have move support. Probably the bigger news out of it, though, was that every copy of Bioshock Infinite for the PS3 is also going to get Bioshock 1.
That's good.
On the disc, because they want to prove the power of Blu-ray. And you know what? Kudos to Sony, because this actually, I think, is a smart move on their part. They really are trying to leverage the disc space of Blu-ray and show how it can be beneficial. And certainly getting a free copy of a previous game on the same disc, for a new upcoming game is always a nice perk. You can't argue with that.
It's also a way of them kind of getting back, like, some of the 360 exclusives. Like, you know...
Yeah,
like,
Bioshock 1 certainly was a 360 exclusive for...
It did eventually come out for the PS3, but it was delayed and it wasn't, you know, as good, and it kind of people had lost interest. With this new game, obviously, people are going to want to play the first one again or, like, for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, if they could get Mass Effect 1 on the PS3, they would. And I'm sure they're desperate to do it, but they can't.
Yeah. Sorry?
I said they make it up for, like, you know, the people who haven't, who haven't played Bioshock.
Yeah, and it probably should be noted at this point, after 514, Dust 514, all the games that they announced, these are all multi-platform games coming up that we're going to talk about real quickly, but they all have some kind of exclusive content add-on. So,
Dust 514 isn't multi-platform. That's a banger.
No, that is exclusive to Sony.
So I was disappointed they didn't detail, because that's going to connect with EVE Online, and they didn't talk about how. You know, that was interesting. And
yeah,
they completely jumped over it, and I was like, "Wait, you should."
We'll see. Yeah, I mean, details forthcoming, right?
Wasn't this the one where they were gauging that it was going to be the MMO? People on the PCs carry on playing the MMO type thing.
Yeah,
that
was Dust. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and this game, it's a different kind of game, but all of the things that are happening in that are then going to affect what's happening online with the MMO. Yeah.
Right,
yeah, so they talk to each other.
In essence, EVE Online is the space battle simulator MMO, and Planetside, Dust 514 is going to be the actual ground combat portion of this big space battle. So what happens on the ground in Dust 514 can inadvertently affect the battles up in space in terms of resources and availability. And likewise, what happens up in space could potentially affect how things are progressing down on the ground.
Oh, shit, there's a big battle cruiser falling on our heads.
He made a good joke, by the way, that guy who did the Dust thing. His name was Hilmar, right? And he says, I'm from Iceland, the place where delays flights from volcanic ash clouds.
Yes.
And that was the only joke that actually people laughed.
Yes.
Everything else bombed.
Yeah, there were a lot of bad jokes. All right, let's run through these real quickly. These third-party games: Saints Row the Third, exclusive content coming to the PS3 later. Star Trek the Game, really, who cares? But it's going to have PS3 move support.
You can play a Spock.
It comes with a phaser, Greg.
Yes,
come on,
working gold phaser. That is pretty sweet. Come on. EA said they're going to give a lot of exclusive content to Sony. So SSX. Is going to have an exclusive Mount Fuji level.
I put down snowboarding games are so 90s.
Oh, hey, they're making a comeback, baby. Need for Speed the Run, which looks like a ripoff of Driver, is
really?
Going to be...
I haven't heard anything about the run.
So
Driver?
Basically, well, it's Need for Speed the Run.
You're in a coma. You're in a coma.
No. Okay. I shouldn't have said really the Driver, because what it boils down to is... It's, you know, a Need for Speed racing game. You're racing cross country from San Francisco to New York, and as you go along the way, you're going to have these on-foot sequences where every once in a while you're going to have to be on foot. Now, what absolutely did not excite me at all about the on-foot sequences is they all look like they were complete QuickTime events.
Oh, God.
So...
going to be awful.
Yeah. I'm not holding out a lot of hype.
Who's making
and
that
hope. I don't know the developer, but...
I reckon it's like whoever made like Underground last time or something, or...
Could be.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Anyway, you're going to have some exclusive cars for that if you get it on the PS3. Brilliant. And finally, Battlefield 3 is going to have Battlefield 1943 bundled in for free on the Blu-ray disc.
I couldn't get excited about that.
Well, it's hard to get excited for a game that's pretty much already gone
that's
platform
and passed
by.
Yeah, it's like...
Not a lot of people are still playing that game. Let's just put it that.
Who's going to buy Battlefield for a game? Great, I'm going to play 1943 now.
Yeah.
No one. Nobody.
So yeah, at this point, Sony shifted gears and they went into the PSP Vita. That was the official name announced. Some people call it Vita. Some people call it Vita. It's V-I-T-A.
Call it Vita.
They talked about, first up was the PlayStation Suite. And what's ironic about this was, this is more about the smartphones than it was so much the Vita, but that was first up on the list. Then they got into kind of the nuances of the Vita and, you know, dual analog sticks, touchpads, I should say, OLED, multi-touch screen.
Yeah, 3G, Wi-Fi, and kitchen sink, I put.
Yeah. So... We'll skip to the interesting part. As they're going through the specs on the phone, Sony then, you know, with Kaz out on stage, makes the announcement that, you know, they'll have a Wi-Fi SKU, a Wi-Fi only SKU, and then they're going to have a 3G and Wi-Fi enabled SKU. And the 3G would be exclusively partnered up with AT&T. And
ooh.
At that point in time, literally,
ooh.
You heard boos from the audience.
Yes. I've never heard press boo.
I know. I was pretty
so
shocked
weird.
By that. I mean, on the positive side of it, the Wi-Fi only SKU is only $249. Honestly, shockingly reasonable.
The price actually got a big response, actually.
Yes.
$250. A lot of people were pleased by
it. $299 for the Wi-Fi 3G enabled one, and that's when they announced the AT&T stuff, and it was like all the cheers they had went to booze. But
I was really surprised at that because I was listening last week, and there's a lot of guys that have actually had hands-on time with it now because they were doing like pre-free,
they all
have it, and they were all saying that the build quality of it is absolutely excellent.
Yeah,
they were saying. The screen quality is up there, if not better than like a retinal display on an iPhone, and like to get that on a handheld, it's good.
Makes you think this could be the handheld you want to get,
mm-hmm.
but maybe you should save that for the end of this podcast. That's all I'm saying. A little foreshadowing.
Uh-oh.
Then one of the most curious things, and I had to laugh at this. So the Vita is going to support party mode, which basically is you can party group chat anywhere with other PSP Vita users on the PSP Vita, a feature that has yet to be included
Amazing.
On PS3.
Yeah, well, so if you want party chat on your PS3,
so that's what they want you to do, right?
You can just still link up. Great.
Yeah, so you're sitting there playing your PS3 with your PS Vita. Sitting on the couch, you know, your dog steps on it.
Looking at
buy another one.
PlayStation Suite.
Right.
On your PS or PlayStation branded
TV.
Screen. Yeah.
Screen. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
All right.
The rest of your house is empty because you've sold all your stuff.
So games were announced for the Vita. There was a big like montage video of a bunch of games they showed that they didn't speak about, but. Honestly, I couldn't catch most of those. But what we do know for sure, Uncharted is coming. It's got touchscreen capability.
Uncharted looked really good.
It looked good, but I felt the touchscreen stuff was tacked
the touch
on.
Thing. Oh, yeah, yeah. I felt the touch thing.
It was there because they wanted to, again, show the technology off. But Uncharted looks great.
Uncharted looked really good on the Vita. I was impressed. I'll tell you what the touchscreen did look good for, the Modernation Races and the Little Big Planet stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that made sense.
There you go. Two other games that are coming out on the Vita. They also announced Street Fighter X Tekken.
With Cole.
Yeah, with Cole as an exclusive character coming to the Vita. The game that, honestly, I was probably the most intrigued by out of all of them was a game called Ruin, which is an action RPG. It's an action RPG. It's going to interface with your PS3. And basically, you create this kind of little kingdom, and you'll develop rivals on the system, and you can play it from your PS3 or your PS Vita. And it seems like kind of a persistent world, almost Minecraft-ish.
The game looked like Torchlight, didn't it? That's why.
No, it did. It did. It absolutely.
That's what you're bumming like, it. Like, it looked like a Diablo and Torchlight. And
yep.
Yeah. So they're going after that crowd. But it did. That was cool, by the way. Yeah. When he saved it on his Vita, right? And he went, right, I'm off to play it on my PS3 now. He played it on his PS3 and he carried on. That's what they need. Sony need to do that. They should have been doing that 5 years ago on the PSP. That's what they need to do.
Booyah. So yeah. So there you go. A holiday this year, the PSP Vita. And that was it. That was the conference. So
I put it at the end of my live blog. I said, the Trenton. I kept on calling Jack Trenton the Trenton because I like him. The Trenton is back. End of show. Are they going to do, oh, and one more thing? Nope.
Yeah.
They just played some drums.
Yeah, they just walked away. So, I mean, for me, the grade for Sony, I'd give them a B. I think they did what they needed to do. I felt they were pretty light on PS3 games. But I think the Vita kind of saves them. I mean, without the Vita, this would have been a disastrous show for them. But the Vita, with the pricing of the Vita, really, I think it kind of saved the whole show for them and made Sony look pretty good in the end of the day.
Yeah, I think people are more up on the Vita than I would thought they would be. And it looks like a nice piece of kit, but I think
the pricing helped people kind of get there.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, totally agree.
350, like, people would be like, no. But 250 is like, I don't know. I think they've done well with that. So, yeah. I'm not going to buy it. Who cares?
All right. Well, what would you grade then, Mike? What would you grade the...
I'll give them a B. Yeah, I'll give them a, like, they did... I might bump it up for the apology at the start. They hit every note, you know, like they needed to.
And bump them up the apology at the start and then take them back down a notch for the AT&T exclusivity.
Boo. Means nothing to me. I don't care. But it's going to be fun.
Yeah. Now, Rich and Chris, I mean, if you guys want to weigh in on a quick grade, I mean, I know you didn't really hear the show, but based on the information that you're hearing, how would you grade them out? Rich, why don't you go first?
I'll grade mine based on everything I've seen on Twitter because, you know, that's where I get all my information from and everything's true. I think a lot of people thought that they were one of the best of the bunch. So I'll give them a B and then I can mark the others accordingly.
Okay.
Give them a B.
You're going to copy us, basically.
I didn't even listen to anything you said. Okay.
I believe that.
Chris, any original grading on your end?
No.
Okay.
I love Chris.
How do you like that?
Oh, I love that.
He's my favorite one of us.
All right. Next, we are going to shift gears, and we're going to talk about Microsoft. So, Rich, you and I had the pleasure of watching the Microsoft conference.
Mm-hmm.
They kicked it off. As kind of expected, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, front and center. Boom.
It looked more of the same, I'd say. More of the same. Showed a few guns off, new ones. All the fanboys will be picking up everything that was on the floor. So they knew that the P90 was back. They knew the G18 pistol was back. It was more the same.
I did have to laugh. They, you know, a lot of people tried to like kind of bag on the Call of Duty guys because when they first started it up, they purposely took the battery out to do the disconnect to show that the demo was live.
Yeah.
Really? I didn't see that.
Yeah. So right when it starts up, you'll see controller disconnected. And at first, a lot of people were trying to, you know, they were like, oh, they should know better. Don't, you know, this day and age, you got to know to charge your batteries. But all he did was unclick it and click it back in, and the game kept on running.
I liked that. Yeah, it was like a bit of a fuck you to all the naysayers.
Yep.
Yeah, that was Robert Bowling.
Yeah.
I thought was quite interesting at the end as well. He's the voice and always has been the front face for Infinity Ward, and he didn't get to say a bloody thing. Sledgehammer guy came in, said his piece, told him that he was so proud to be working on Call of Duty, and then that was it. Robert Bowling, the guy that normally says everything for him.
Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder how much Sledgehammer has actually worked on the game versus maybe what's left of Infinity Ward. I mean, you know, maybe Sledgehammer really did most of the heavy lifting. Mm. It's a really good question. We don't know, and maybe we'll never will know. But, I mean, it's Modern Warfare 3. It's exactly what you are expecting.
That
looks
level
great.
Look cool, you know? Like,
it looks great. It's going to run smooth. I mean, there's not really much to bitch about.
At this point, for me, Call of Duty is like a game that I will play and I will enjoy. I don't get excited for them anymore.
Yeah.
Because I know they're coming. Like it'll be cool. Like, I will enjoy it just as much as I enjoy Black Ops and Modern Warfare 2.
Agreed. Next up on the docket, Tomb Raider. And
my jaw dropped.
I loved this.
I'm fired up for this one.
Yeah. Everything, the reboot looks like it is fantastic.
I will say this, though. That's the intro of the game, right?
It's the opening scene, sure.
It's the opening scene. They have to kind of blow you away with the opening scene.
But there was gameplay. It wasn't just a CGI trailer.
But it looked like a CGI trailer.
I know.
It was amazing. Like, Uncharted, like, knocked Tomb Raider down big time. Yeah. And this is their... We still got it, kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, can I just say...
And they have.
Yeah. If this really is the way Tomb Raider is going to look, it absolutely is knocking Uncharted back down.
It's got a chance, because this looked great. It looked absolutely brilliant.
Now, Rich, I believe you actually had tweeted me about the flames on the ceiling as she was crawling through with the torch, and she got to the water level was rising. I don't know. Maybe you didn't. I apologize
that
if it's a mistake.
That won't me. Won't me.
And now she's
you guys notice,
like painting across the ceiling and stuff.
Well, you notice the flames are licking across the top.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Just phenomenal. So,
more aesthetic details, you.
The only look at the graphics. Yeah. What killed
look at the flame.
What killed me is 2012. We got another year to wait for this game, but man, it's awesome.
That's what it's looking like now. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, just keep doing that, please. More of that.
So next up for the Microsoft conference, EA came out. It was I can't remember his name now. It's totally escaping me. Peter Moore came out on stage and talked up. You know, EA Connect powered games. Basically, looks like they're going to kind of do what they've been doing for all the different systems. They're going to, you know, Connectify some Madden, some FIFA, Tiger Woods, PGA. You know. The Sims is going to have voice control. So, I mean, they're doing their due diligence to try and service into Kinect.
You know what? Here's the one thing I want from Kinect, right, if I ever buy one. If I decide to play Madden, I want to be able to say, ready, set, hike.
I'm pretty sure you're going to be able to.
That's it. That's it. If that's all it does, I'll pay $150 just
Chris,
to do that.
We're going to come back to you for that very moment a little later in this this whole presser. So we move on. Then they bring out the BioWare guys. The Doctor comes out. Mass Effect 3 gets demoed.
Ooh, yeah.
Shows off voice control.
Like, Doctor Who came out. The Doctor came out.
Doctor, I can't remember.
The Doctor came out. Yeah. Is it Casey or somebody else? I don't know.
I think it was Casey that came out. But anyway.
He's a fucking doctor, man.
He's a doctor. Back off.
Move out of the way. He's a doctor.
Mass Effect 3, voice controls. Rich?
Yes.
Were you excited?
I thought it was more interesting than I thought it would be. I didn't like the idea that you was using, you know, your different options for vocal response. I wasn't too mad about the fact that you could read them out and then it would recognise and take them on board. I'd rather just flick the thingy up to whichever one, press the button. What I did find quite interesting was the fact that you could... start doing, you know, almost like a Rainbow Six type thing where you're spotting and placing your squad members wherever you want.
Right.
Getting them to move forward. And then the fact that you could target the enemies and then just shout out whatever bio attack you wanted to do on them type thing.
Yeah.
That was quite interesting.
That looked quite quick, didn't it? Like when he did that. Like he just looked at him and he went, fucking kill him. But I don't know what he said. But, you know, that looked cool. But the kind of like, the unit one here, all that kind of, people don't like doing that. But, you know,
the combat voice controls I think are going to be pretty great. I'm with you, Rich. The actual voice like response in the typical Mass Effect dialogue sequences. My big thing, and it's kind of like what you were saying, they show it. So you see your typical wheel up on, you know, with the different responses you can give, and you can use Kinect and just read off the response you want to give. The problem I had, you know, here we're supposed to be trying to make this immersive thing. So
I was just about to say that.
You're reading this off, and then Shepard gives his response.
Yeah.
Off your selection.
Like it breaks it up, doesn't it?
I think you should do that.
Yeah, pretty much. I think they really – maybe this is how it's feeling a bit tacked on, and maybe they were adding it in at the end. But, I mean, to me it would have made so much more sense that with Kinect, you just read the response you want and then the characters react.
Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't it be cooler as well? If, you know, everybody goes on about the Kinect and having this Minority Report type interface. Wouldn't it be cool for something as simple as just two options to just have like a little gesture you can do? Flick up. Pressed, like, flick down.
So, like,
flick
you know, when the council gives you some grief, you can give them the double deuces.
Yeah, man.
You flick up the bird and just give them
out. No, but, you know, like, create a nice little interface and that in the foreground of where your hood would be, and then just have it so that it looked quite neat when
I
you do
what
it.
What I've done is gimmicky, but I think what you're suggesting is even more gimmicky. I think,
quite possibly.
I think 20 years
Anyway, a little quick reveal as well, which was quite more to do with the game and not so much the Kinect shenanigans. Did you notice the new melee type attack that they built into
it? That got the crowd going.
That looked quite good.
The crowd went, whoa, that's too sweet.
When I first saw the first melee attack, I have to admit I was a little underwhelmed because it seemed kind of... I don't know, just like typical, like we have a melee combat in there. But then later you see Shepard take cover behind a wall and reach over and like, you know, in Drake's Uncharted, you know, he pulls the guy back over the wall and does a melee attack on him. And so that had me excited. It seems like they've got different animations. It's not just one canned animation for every melee attack.
You can roll from cover to cover.
Right. Rolling is now in there. Grenades actually bounce.
This is an action game.
It really is more action-y than anything. Yeah. But I'm okay with that.
They know what they're doing. They're doing all right.
Okay, next up on the docket, I have to say, outside of Tomb Raider, my next favorite game they showed off. Ghost Recon Future Soldier.
Well, that was a good trailer.
It was a great trailer, and they showed off Kinect abilities that, honestly, to me, said this could sell Kinect to some hardcore users.
If you want Minority Report, you got it in this fucker, didn't you?
Yeah.
this had it, man. Definitely.
This because I saw the sweet trailer, so I don't know.
Yeah. So they have this weapon upgrade system that you see the weapon, like, let's say an M16, and it's just sitting there on the screen, like, in kind of this, like, hub world. And you take your hands and you put them together, and then you basically stretch them out, kind of like you're opening something up. And you see the entire gun go into the exploded view. And it's not just scope and stock and barrel. It's, you know, your gas, you know, firing pins and everything down to the smallest little parts gets exploded out. And then using Kinect, you can interchange parts. You can just say optimize for close combat, and the system will go in, reorganize things, and put it back together with, say, like a shotgun attachment. Then you can say optimize for long range. It'll change the gun out into a sniper rifle.
Whoa.
And, you know, it was awesome to see.
It's the future of combat.
It was pretty cool, and I think somebody like Chris – Mr. Matthew, I think you could appreciate it because of the level of detail they go into on the guns.
It's pretty high speed. I'm just watching the video on YouTube here, watching the guy do it.
Tell me the link.
What? No, man. Links make you Skypey.
Then he, you know, went into some more of the more connecty gimmicks, which is, you know, you can then take the gun and go to a test fire range and literally using hand gesture motions, fire the gun off. And it all worked fine. Like, you know, he held out his left arm in front of him, kind of like in a, like a holding onto a rail. And that was the pointing of the gun. And then his right hand was,
he opens his hand.
Yeah. He opens his hand up to shoot. Yeah. And then closes it to stop. It all worked fine. Seemed like it worked great on stage. You know, that kind of stuff, though, I know with a lot of hardcore users concerns them because, you know, is it going to be on rails, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, how's he moving?
Yeah, I think it's only used
in
that demo part, though. So you can test out your guns and use Kinect to test them out, but you're not going to use that, at least I don't believe, in the actual fighting part of the game.
It might be cool to, like, integrate that into, say, like, a sniping mission.
Yeah.
You know, where you don't have to move around a whole lot, but...
Yeah.
It's cool.
You're also going to get squad mechanics.
Squad.
So, and, you know, squad 2, move up, you know, hold, that kind of thing. Suppress, that'll all be there. And also, kind of a big piece of it, all future Tom Clancy games are going to have Kinect support like this.
I'm watching it now. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
The gunsmith bit where you can take everything apart is awesome.
Yeah. So at this point, they got into some services, and I'm going to run through this kind of quickly. I don't want to spend time on it, but they announced up a Bing search service. Again, this is all Kinect-enabled functionality. Yeah. Live TV, YouTube, UFC live events, all coming to Xbox Live. Basically, they're really going for creating a all-in-one TV media hub box.
Whatever they could get, they get it.
The Bing search was kind of cool because you can use that to search, say, for Rainbow Six, and anything Rainbow Six related would be pulled up in your search off of all the different Xbox Live services, including movies, whatever. DLC, and it's all going to be listed there for you then to browse through and select.
It's something we're probably overlooking now, but when it's actually built into the dashboard, I think that will be a great asset. You know,
is it only searching like Xbox stuff, or is it like a web browser? Is it searching the World Wide Web?
99% positive, only stuff within the Xbox community.
Okay.
Interesting also, they showed off the new dashboard. It's all tile-based. It's different from what it looks like now, but if you want to know what it looks like, all you need to do is look at the Windows 8 preview that came out that was on YouTube, and you will see exactly what that interface looks like pretty much.
Different tiles.
But yeah, so this is, I think, their way of unifying everything for the future.
And just to clarify for UK people as well, they did mention by name Sky with regards to live TV. So
yes,
there's definitely a deal being done there.
Going back into more software now, Gears 3 came on stage. Cliffy came on stage with Ice-T. We did a demo level together. And Gears 3, it looked great. I don't think there's much to say about it. It was, we expected it. Looked awesome.
What was Ice-T on? Like, is he in the game?
He's in the game. Ice-T is a character in the game, yeah.
So in the game.
He was in Modern Warfare 3 as well, wasn't he?
I believe possibly. But I know he's a
fan. It was 50 Cent.
Maybe it was.
Oh, yeah, it was 50 Cent, wasn't it? Yeah.
I don't know.
But I know Ice-T is a big Gears fan, so.
Well, he's pretty good. He was doing
well, so am I. Can I be in the game?
Yes, you can. next game. The game that previously was codenamed Kingdom from Crytek. Was announced and shown. It's called Rise. And basically it's a Gladiator Kinect-based game. One thing I did find out after the press conference was that they're still not 100% set on how they're going to control this game, if it's going to be 100% Kinect or if it's going to utilize controller. Because originally they said it was going to be a combination, but the trailer looked like it was heavily just all Kinect. So hard to say.
I tell you what, that guy that was fighting in there was going absolutely apeshit. we'll get onto this in a bit. But this thing to do with what they're expecting you to do in your living room, I'm going to be putting holes in all sorts of walls and everything. I am. I'm telling you what they're going off with here.
Yeah, but the game looked great. I will say this. It's a crazy game.
Yeah, it did look good.
Great graphics and bloody.
It's a really good trailer as well with that dog just wandering through the city.
Oh, yeah. That
coming across different things and that.
Yeah. I thought for a moment you're going to play as a dog. I thought, that's cool.
No, this was not Peter Molyneux's game. Next up was Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary Edition. We thought it was coming. Ago. Yeah, we thought it was coming. It's coming.
Exactly what everyone predicted.
HD remake. It kind of went through and out. Not a lot of fanfare. I'm not saying it looked phenomenal. It definitely looked better on the HD side of it.
It's nostalgia. It is a nostalgia.
Yep.
Exactly why Halo 1 didn't come to Xbox Live. I don't know.
Is it boxed or downloadable?
It is a boxed game, but it's only going to be, I believe, $40. It is going to be a cheap price point.
Like ODST sort of thing.
It's a fan service. That's all it is. It's like 10 years. We need to do something. We're not ready to release Halo 4.
Yeah.
Here's Halo 1.
Now, interesting side note. It does have 8 multiplayer maps that are included and 1 firefight map, but they don't run on the original Halo CE engine. They actually are running on the Halo Reach engine, and they actually work through the Halo Reach multiplayer system. And so... they're all remakes of Halo CE maps, but it's not Halo CE in its truest sense. Now, I believe they're going to allow for a setting that basically you can click on, and it's going to change everything to be Halo CE-like. So you're not going to have abilities or anything like that for your Spartans. But, yeah.
Bit odd.
Next game, Forza 4. If you love cars, you love this game.
Car porn.
Yeah, it was total car porn, exactly what we expected. Kinect integration, head tracking, it's all there.
I don't know about this head tracking. I don't know.
You know what? It looks like it works.
Yeah.
That's all. I've seen video. It seems like it works pretty good.
It's there if you need it.
Exactly.
If you need it. What I need is a headbutt. Just like I need a headbutt option, like when I'm driving.
That was in Rise.
That's Rise. You get headbutt in Rise.
You do get to headbutt in Rise.
Nice.
Next up was Fable Journey. Now, this is the Peter Molyneux game. This, to me, was a big disappointment, at least from what I can tell. Maybe it's all like surprise
on rails, right?
I don't believe anything that man says anymore.
It is on rails. About the only thing that was cool from this was the way they crafted spells using hand gestures.
Yeah, like you. I thought that was quite cool. Like some of the gestures that he did were varied and interesting. I thought that was okay. But it's an on rails shooter. That's it.
So anyway,
Andy the smoke out of Lost on his trailer.
Oh, that's yes, true. The DT. I thought that as well. Yeah, it is.
Then this was a surprise. Minecraft coming to Xbox 360 Kinect. So it's going to be Kinect-enabled. Cross-play to PC.
What?
Yeah, that was confirmed after the conference, as a matter of fact. I was listening to Giant.
This isn't the main boy that guy, is it?
Yes, it is.
He got it plastered all over it. Yep. I want this guy to make so much money. I want my kids to grow up and be playing consoles, and this guy actually owns a console company. Because I just love the story of the fact that he had a PayPal account and they stopped it because they thought he was earning dodgy money. And now he's just got so much money. He's got it coming out everywhere.
He has no idea what to do with it.
Next up, Rich, this is a game I think you actually might like with your kids. Disney. So how would you describe this game, Rich?
It could take you on a Peter Pan flight, and then you can fly straight up Mickey Mouse's arse. Yeah, great.
And there's that description. It's actually a recreation of Disneyland.
You literally fly around Disneyland. Yes. And then you can just wander up to any of the attractions and go into it, and it'll take you into like a mini game.
Right.
Disneyland or Disney World?
Well, Disneyland, from what I understand. But according to Rich, Mickey Mouse's ass is one of the attractions.
Yeah.
Another Kinect and
that's one prostate exam I don't want to be a part of.
Yeah, I mean, the Disney game looks like it's going to be fun, especially for kids.
Well, Mickey is getting on in years, so he probably needs a prostate exam.
Yeah, and this is definitely this is definitely the section of the conference that really delved into more kid-friendly games. At this point, Star Wars Kinect got shown and demoed on stage. Did not look good.
I thought it was poor.
Yeah.
I didn't like the way that they tried to give you some form of movement by making this lame lunging action you had to do.
Right.
So that you, like, warped forward to the next fight that you was going to have. And then the saber fighting as well looked really weak.
It looked rough.
It didn't look like you was impacting on what you were fighting with, and it all looked a little bit delayed.
At least with, like, Rise and with the Fable game, that it kind of looked responsive, and it was, Kinect was seen. It was accurately displaying what he was trying to do. With this, he was swinging it, and it was not doing what it wasn't one-to-one. So.
And I don't know if it was just the speed of the game or it was the speed of the person on stage, but either way, did not impress. I will say the graphics looked great. I mean, it was a great-looking Star Wars game.
It's like the Clone Wars kind of style, isn't it? Yeah, it looks
digging that, but... He tried using the force to lift that tank off the thing. Failed the first time. Yeah. it was definitely a low point.
I think he's fired now. I think he's got the sack.
Yeah. Low point of the conference. Then they demoed Sesame Street game with Tim Schafer came out. Yeah, Tim Schafer came out. And honestly, Tim Schafer, he can sell any game. Just a fun guy, and he relates. He gets you to relate to the game. And, you know, this game is all about you playing with your kid, experiencing it with your child. And that's basically what it is. So.
Better get one of those then.
Yep. Kinect Fun Labs, was then announced, and it was announced as free to play online right now, blah, blah, blah. So download Kinect Labs. It's out there. Kinect Sports Season 2. Chris, this was your game. Because they had probably the worst demonstration out of all of them, of these guys up on stage trying to demo the football portion of it, and the guy sitting there screaming, "Blue 42!
Blue! He's calling audibles? Awesome.
Hike!" Yeah, but it wasn't doing anything.
Wasn't working?
All he was supposed to be doing was saying hike.
Hike. Hike. It would be cool if you could call out audibles and hot routes and stuff, but
I agree. And that's actually supposedly coming to Madden, just so you know. But Dance Central 2 then was shown. Looks like great Dance Central. You can, you know, play with another person now on stage at the same time.
Some people pay a lot of money for that.
They do. Yeah. Lap dances are not cheap. Then they had Halo 4 announced. And this, unfortunately, was spoiled for me like 2 hours before the damn press conference. I was pissed.
Really?
Apparently, you're not the only one.
I went to Twitter by accident. I knew better. And sure enough, somebody tweeted, Halo 4 incoming. It's been confirmed.
Apparently, an employee at Microsoft, or at least at Xbox.com, put some Halo 4 stuff up on the Xbox.com forums. Several hours before the press conference, so like everyone already knew it was coming.
Yeah,
it was no surprise.
Trying to be the early bird getting the worm, and instead fucked it all.
So close, Microsoft.
I know. So yeah, Halo 4, 2012.
With Halo 4,
it's a new trilogy.
I saw the trailer, Greg. And, oh, come on, Master Chief. And he's getting resuscitated or whatever. And then, you know, he grabs the chick and then puts her in his head.
Which
all makes sense for Halo fans. And then he jumps out of the ship, like. And, you know, like the kind of final shot where it's like Master Chief on the standing on the edge of that ship. I did kind of go, yeah, he's back. Cool. You know? I did do that.
Master Chief, he just has a way.
I am kind of interested to find out.
Me.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of interested to find out, like, what happens, right? Like, Halo 3 ended with a sort of a cliffhanger, you know, they're floating in space. I am kind of interested to find out what happens next. I read a little bit about it, and, you know, there's some references apparently in the trailer. People who read the Halo books will recognize, like, the big giant thingy that they're flying towards at the end of the trailer, I guess, is... And there's rumor that there might be more Spartans out there because of something that's in one of the Halo books. I don't know.
Okay. When you saw Master Chief standing there, and he's like, I'm back, motherfuckers, did you not go, it's quite cool.
I missed that dialogue.
I wanted to know what he was putting on his gun.
Yeah, he grabbed that random engineering tool or whatever. That's, yeah.
I'm gonna have a look. I'm gonna watch this
rivet gun. What was weird to me is that, like, his armor was missing some bits, and it's like, where did his armor go while he's chilling?
I think Cortana's been busy when he's been.
Cortana's been taking care of him.
I guess so.
So that ended the conference. Now, curiously enough, there were a few other items that were announced but not mentioned in the conference, and I found them kind of perplexing. This in particular, cloud saves and beacons coming to the 360.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So cloud saving, of course, is pretty self-explanatory. You'll be able to, you know, save your games and your profile to the cloud. If you go to somebody else's house, you're not going to have to worry about downloading it, recovering it, blah, blah, blah. That's all coming. Beacons, this was a new kind of spin. So we all kind of moan sometimes when we're trying to play a single-player game and people just hound us with invites. Well, beacons, in a sense, are going to basically be a way for you to, when you get online, you can announce, basically, with a beacon that you are open to playing online games with other people. And if you don't announce it, you won't, I guess, get bothered at all. Mm-hmm. And I guess they're going to make it much easier to turn this on and off.
I like it.
Yeah.
Wait, so if you don't announce with a beacon, you won't get any invites? That's...
I don't know specifically how it's going to work.
Weird. I don't know.
Specifically how it's going to work. But,
maybe it's on by default, right? And then you can turn it off.
Well, don't we already have that with the offline setting?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
But it's a little bit like hidden, isn't it? That?
Yeah, it is hidden, and I think they're going to make it more prominent. Something you can use.
I think it's a digital way of just saying, I'm free.
It's very hard to push the big silver button in the middle and click over to the left or to the right twice.
I suffer.
Well, I don't care about your suffering.
Lastly, they announced a new wireless racing wheel.
Yay.
It's only $60, which that certainly grabbed people's attention. What I find hard to believe or have a hard time with is this thing is kind of in the shape of a U. It doesn't have a base. Literally, you just hold it.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So,
everybody wants to suspend their both arms in front of them for 5 minutes.
Well,
that's great.
The design of the U looks like you literally could actually rest it in your lap and be able to slide it around. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
I'm sure cleverer people than me made that. So
I'm not sold on it yet. Let's just put it that way.
I'm not sure they're any cleverer than you.
No. All right. So grades for Microsoft. Rich, what would you grade Microsoft's conference?
I'm going to go B+. I'm going to go B+. No, I'm not. No, I'm going to go B. They would have got a B+ if they would have done something about a friends list. Because everybody wants it changing, and they haven't done anything.
Everybody does, yeah.
Everybody does.
Mike, what would you grade Microsoft?
B-.
Okay, and Chris?
Good for them.
Good for them, grade. Okay. Mike, I'm with you. B-. I think they needed maybe one or two more exclusive core games.
People want games.
What happened to the Alan Wake stuff? You know, that disappeared.
No games. God. If I ever have to run one of these things, games. It's going to be games for an hour.
Now, in fairness, it was a bunch of games they showed off, but I think it was so heavy scripted towards Kinect that the good core games kind of get lost in the shuffle. They had a lot to show software-wise. They certainly had a lot of exclusive content they showed. But I think from a hardcore perspective, maybe not as much as we would have liked to see.
Do you get the feeling that this console's getting towards the end of its lifespan as far as you know, originality in games and so on. I don't feel like there's anything new that's coming out. You know, it's all sequels and stuff.
See, now I disagree. I mean, I look at that list. I see a lot of new games that are coming to it. Now, are they exclusive? That's a different conversation to have.
All right, Greg, come on then.
Yeah.
What do you think's new and fresh out of all of that?
Well, out of all of that, I mean, again,
that's a game. It's not Kinect based.
Okay, I mean Tomb Raider. We all raved about that game.
It's not new though.
It absolutely is new.
I don't know. Rich has a fair point. It's not really new.
It's like regurgitated ideas.
If you're going to sit there and try and like say regurgitated ideas, I mean, you can see that for every game out there, pretty much, it's all been done. It's being done in new and in different ways. I mean, Ghost Recon to me felt very new and inventive in what they were doing with Kinect. Is it going to, you know, revolutionize the shooter world? No, probably not. But, you know, each console, I think, is suffering from that. I mean, the PS3 is certainly suffering from the fact that, you know, all they've got are shooters and I mean, honestly, a lot of shooters on the PS3 now. But I don't find that we're really seeing a lot of new and inventive things coming out in the way of games these days.
Portal.
Portal 2 is a smash of Portal.
The innovation sliding
Portal
down.
But they've come out with a sequel since then, so you can't call out Portal 1.
Yeah, but that's this generation, though. What about L.A. Noire? Give me another game like L.A. Noire. Go.
Heavy Rain.
Grand Theft Auto.
Give me a good game like L.A. Noire.
Grand Theft Auto.
Red Dead Redemption.
No, they're not like L.A. Noire. Nothing like them. I win.
Nah, they're very similar.
Blap, blap, blap.
Weak. Fail.
Anyway.
But to round it off, right, all I'm saying is I think the innovations slided down the budget. Your innovative games, like, you look at, like, these new things like From Dust and so on, what was talked about last week. It's like XBLA type sort of budget. Yeah. I think you need a new bit of hardware in there, so that instills into all of the developers that, hey, you need to come out with a new idea because here's a new cracking piece of kit. Give me some new ideas for it.
I don't know if it works like that, Rich, to be honest. I think the lower the budget, the less risk a game is. And that's why you see more inventive games with like indie games or XBLA games. I don't think giving them a new piece of kit will make them... Like, I think the best ideas come with restricted like access to... The more inventive games come out when they're restricted by hardware. Or Borderlands, they had to make a lot of budget cuts with that game. Right, they had to make a lot of sacrifices. There's no cutscenes because they couldn't afford them. Right, and creative ideas span from restrictions, you know, compromises. So I think that like it's not the hardware; it's budget and restrictions and things like that. So
now
I think you get a breakdown of like three periods from what I've seen in this console's life. You'll get the first couple of years when people are trying to dip the toes in the water and get used to the actual kit, like they did with the PS3, definitely. And then the middle of the actual lifespan, if you could say, like, when Bioshock and so on was coming out, that's when everybody's, like, really got to grips with it. Your COD 4s are coming out as well, where they've really pushed the boundaries of what you can get out of the kit. And then now, it seems as if everybody's just trying to, you know, they're reaping all the rewards of the franchises they've created, and there's not as many good ideas coming out.
I mean, Rich, I can agree with you that I certainly think the 360 is starting to get long in the tooth.
Oh yeah,
I mean, you know, from that perspective, I don't look at the software as being so much a barometer of it being long in the tooth, because we're still seeing great games and things that are getting better. You know, we're still seeing graphical leaps and AI increases, and so those kind of things do happen. You know, maybe in terms of genre innovation, yeah, you're not.
I don't think they were showcasing anything here, though. Really?
No, maybe not. But like, I think new innovations come slow. I mean, look how far we've come since 2005, since the launch of the Xbox. Like, you know, an action RPG is a new like brand of like genres now. Like it's like a third person RPG a first-person RPG. These weren't, like, you know, Call of Duty changed everything, right? And, you know, these evolutions, like, you know, they're not brand new ideas, but they're evolutions of ideas. And I don't, I mean, you're right, Rich, you're not going to get, like, a lot of brand new ideas anymore because everything's, you know, something else. But I think there's been massive leaps in evolution of ideas. So I think we're quick to forget how far we've come, really.
No, no, I agree with what you're saying. What I'm saying is now, I think we're at a point where you're not going to get many more pushings of the boundaries.
Well,
the boundaries aren't going to get pushed that much more.
I think where you're going to see the boundaries getting pushed, and it may or may not be something that you want to hear, but it really is going to be on the Kinect front as people try to wrestle with that for the 360. That's where you're going to see some new innovative ideas in terms of how to try and work that piece of hardware into software.
How awesome would that be, right? Kinect wrestling, so it comes with a big wrestling mat.
It's coming.
And you literally wrestle in your living room.
Hulk Hogan, baby.
Another dude.
Hulk Hogan's wrestling game coming. Come on, Chris. Yeah, get on board, baby.
I'm talking like now. You look at your TV, right? So we're wrestling, Greg. I'm in my living room, and you're in your living room, and there's your dude who's mimicking your every move, and we're like wrestling, right? And if you get like a body slam on me, like wires come out of my console and body slam me on the floor.
The most dangerous game I've ever played.
Yeah.
I'm going to slap the butter on like Bronson.
Yes.
Right.
Get naked and slap the butter.
Did you just say?
All right. Yeah, we are at that point. We're going to take the break. So I think safe to say, Sony, Microsoft came out. They both did pretty much what they had to do. They had decent press conferences in the B range for both. Done. We'll take the show break. When we come back from it, we're going to hit Nintendo. We'll speed through some emails, and we will get out of here. So we'll be back in just a bit. If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, VGHub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.
His space adventures have touched the heart of a generation. Now, experience Master Chief like never before.
One more snipe. Give me one more snipe.
Waverly Records presents Master Chief Sings, featuring over 100 songs written and performed by Master Chief.
She don't even know my name. But I think she likes me just the same. Kill spree.
Recorded with cutting-edge Covenant technology, it'll feel like Master Chief is right there with you. On the street.
Master Chief, can you help me? I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Halo.
Master Chief Sings today. Space Marines are standing by.
You know I love you, but I just can't take this. You know I love you, but I'm Master Chief.
All right, so Nintendo.
I know nothing about this press conference, so.
All right.
I know the news, but I don't know like all the like the little details, like who coughed up on what.
I'll try and fill in some of the nuances. I mean, Nintendo's conference was a very curious conference, and you'll probably get to that understanding as I go deeper into the conference. So it starts off pretty straightforward. They do the big kind of whoop-de-doo about Zelda, Legend of Zelda, 25th anniversary.
Oh yeah,
they're coming out with a Zelda like out the wazoo on every platform available, basically. So on the Wii, on 3DS, no. DSi, I mean, you know, you name it, it's getting Zelda.
Yeah, Zelda.
Then they kind of deviate from that.
Is this the Skyward Sword, or is this a different?
Skyward Sword. There's a Legend of Zelda Four Swords. There is Legend of Zelda 3D. I mean, literally.
Yeah, like kind of everything. And the Ocarina of Time that's coming out as well.
Yeah. Link's Awakening. I mean, again, you need it, Zelda. You got Zelda.
He got plenty of Zelda this year.
Yeah.
Got
then they go 3DS. Full court press, nothing but 3DS. Mario Kart 3DS, Star Fox 3DS, Super Mario 3D, Kid Icarus Uprising, which has some kind of unique functionality to it in the way of online. Luigi's Mansion 2.
Yeah.
Then they talked about kind of the new virtual console service. I guess they're kind of rebooting the dashboard, and for a limited time you're going to be able to get the 3D classic Excitebike, version of the game for free off of the virtual console service. So all kind of nice little perks. And then they did Pokemon 3D because everybody needs a Pokemon game on their handheld, especially if you're Nintendo. It's coming. That was all the first half of the conference. Pretty straightforward, very much what you expect, but everybody is just waiting. When are they going to talk about the new console?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because everybody – it's official, isn't it? Like, yeah.
So then they bring out Nintendo Wii U. That's the name of the new console.
It's just noises now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's just Wii U, bah. That's the next thing.
Yeah. They went into a spiel kind of how they came about to come to the name because, you know, it's kind of like you play, we play. You know, it was one of those kind of – catchphrase things. Honestly, I could have given a rat's ass. I wanted to see the console.
Come on.
Here was the thing. Throughout the entire conference at this point and all the way to the end, all they talk about is the new controller for the Wii U.
Yeah.
So much so that myself, everybody in the Gate forums, because we were kind of all going back and forth talking about the Nintendo conference at the time,
yeah,
and including the announcers on TV, nobody had any idea if they're actually talking about a new console,
yeah,
or if they're talking about just a controller add-on to the Wii.
Yeah, I thought that because I saw the kind of screenshots and everything's the controller. I was like, where is this? A news story come up and say, look, there's a little quick picture of the new console, and it looked like a 360, and I was like, oh, okay, so there is.
So after a while, it did get confirmed it is a new console.
Yes.
But they never gave any specs for the console throughout the entire thing. They just talked about the controller, and
that
it was
really weird.
Honestly infuriating. The only saving grace was it's pretty cool.
Okay.
So the new controller, it's almost like a tablet. Kind of undersized iPad tablet in a way.
It's like an iPad made by
an iPad made by Nintendo. That's the best way to describe it.
No, like made by what's that kids toys line?
Tome.
I don't know.
G-Tech.
It's a white controller. It's got two thumbsticks at the top. It's got a trigger and like shoulder buttons, and then it has some face buttons on it. It's got a 6-inch touchscreen.
D-pad.
It's got a D-pad on it. I mean, it's kind of got like every bell and whistle.
It's got a stylus in it.
And you can basically, and this was the big thing, you can take your game from the TV and transfer it to your controller. And play it on the controller and let somebody else turn the TV to regular TV.
Hmm.
So a pretty cool feature, especially for those houses where you do have a lot of different users. You know, someone like yourself, Mike, probably not going to have that much use for it because, you know, you live by yourself. But if you had, say, you know, a family like myself or Chris where the wife maybe wants to watch TV and you're playing on the TV – you could then just transfer the game right into your controller. And then either sit on the couch and play it while she's watching TV or walk away into another room.
So you can pause your game and go, all right, I'm just going to play this upstairs now or something.
Basically.
Okay.
So it was very seamless. They showed like you have the ability to also kind of surf and find stuff on the controller. And then you can literally take it from the controller screen and send it up to the big TV screen if you wanted. I mean, there's some crazy application stuff that potentially could happen. I mean, they showed how this thing interfaces and works with everything from the Wii. And this honestly was where a lot of the confusion came in. They weren't talking about Wii U as a console. They were talking about the Wii U controller
the entire peripheral, yeah.
Right. And they were showing how it worked with the Wiimotes, how it worked with the Wii Fit Balance Board, and how it was backwards compatible, and just yeah. Everything she said, this is just a controller.
Yeah.
Now, it does turn out it is an actual console. And this kind of got verified because they went through a bunch of the games that supported the new console. But
yeah, Batman Arkham City, well, yeah. That's not going on the way.
So just some of the quick specs that we do know, because we don't know a lot, but self-loading media bay with basically a high-density optical disc for a new console. Again, is it Blu-ray? Is it HD DVD? We don't know. Some kind of optical disc. Video output, 1080p, 1080i, 720p, 480p, 480i.
HDMI
component, S video composite, audio out, 6-channel PCM linear through HDMI, storage. They said it's going to use SD memory, or an external USB hard drive disk or a disk hard drive. So that was kind of interesting. All they said is it's an IBM power-based multi-core processor. So they didn't go into the specs of the processor. They didn't tell us how much RAM it has in it.
It's so weird how they've done it, because usually when Xbox or Sony do like announce a console,
right.
They bring it out and they fucking hold it to everybody.
Now,
you know, they have it on display. It's so strange.
So we're going to – I want to come back to that because I have some thoughts on that. But let's get into the software. They announced Super Smash Brothers. What's kind of cool is it's going to have the ability – it's being developed for the 3DS and the Wii U, so you're going to be able to play back and forth. They did make a very big point. It was right about this point in the thing that they said this handheld controller is not a replacement for the 3DS.
Right.
And I can see how there's going – because this thing does have a lot of power and capability that
yeah.
A lot of
that
people are going to say –
controller must be pretty powerful, right?
Yeah. Why do I need a 3DS when I could just get this system, mm-hmm. You know? So that was a very interesting point they brought up, and you know, I wonder how worried they are that this potentially may cannibalize sales from their handheld division.
It's like they're working from two different departments or something.
Yeah,
handheld.
They then announced Lego City Stories, open world Lego game. Can't argue with that. Looked really great. Then they went hardcore. And when I say hardcore, I mean hardcore. Tekken, Darksiders 2, Batman Arkham City, Assassin's Creed, Ghost Recon Online. Interesting point. Ghost Recon Online, which is their free-to-play MMO PC shooter game they just announced. So not Ghost Recon Future Soldier, the online version. Madden, Battlefield 3, FIFA 12. You know, a lot of very heavy-hitting hardcore, you know, traditionally PS3 and 360 games. So it wowed. The controller is cool. It's got a lot of functionality.
I'd say this. The controller looks like kind of more – it looks like it has more uses than a Wii remote does.
Oh, without a doubt.
You know?
Absolutely has.
I'm interested what they could do. And it's so stupid, I actually like the bit where they put it on the floor and you can see a golf ball. That's funny. But
I know.
Yeah, that's gimmicky though.
Did you see some of the videos that were showing the applications of it, like the hide and seek game? And right. Okay. So basically, they had it rigged up with three people playing with Wiimotes, as it were. So they've got the nunchuck and the normal Wiimote. Then three people have to find the person that's got the actual pad, yeah? So whoever's playing with the pad, they're looking at like a 3D isometric type maze, type cartoony world, like you'd find on Mario or something. And the object of the game is that they've got to run away from the other three. And the other three, in this little play area, have got to try and find that person in a certain set amount of time. So they're all running around, looking in third person view, running around the actual TV screen, looking for them, whilst the other guy that's got the pad is running away and they've got like a same sort of speed and everything, but they can see above where the other people are, and then the other guys are all trying to shout out where they are. But the other thing is as well, is the way that it hooks up with the console is they showed you another game where wherever you lift the pad, because it's obviously got like a gyroscope in it, so you lift the pad up in front of the TV and you're seeing what's on the TV screen, yeah? They're like
right.
Pirates. So
it's like it's almost like a front-facing and rear-facing camera, kind of.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like it magnifies what's on the TV screen.
Like, yeah, it's like a magnifying glass, right.
So it's seeing what's on the screen, yeah? But then you move that pad out to the side where your wall would be, your living room wall or whatever, but the game carries on. So you look, it scrolls the whole play area around, so you're actually seeing through a window the whole panorama of the actual play area. So there is some, it looks like they've really thought about how they're going to apply it, so it's just what they do with it.
So here was, okay. I have some questions about kind of how they went about this, some takeaways from it. It's very mixed. I think Nintendo is absolutely genius the way they did this press conference for the Wii U. And I'll kind of come back to why I think that in a second. But so in terms of actual software coming out on this, my concern is the hardcore games were there in terms of, you know, these are all going to be coming. But to be honest, all the Nintendo stuff, they kept saying and reiterating and made a very big point, they're only tech demos. This is not actual software at all. So, you know, part of me is like, okay, they have the hardcore specs down to where they know they're going to get these, be able to have these hardcore games put onto the system. But I don't think they have really any true clue on what they're really going to do with the system software-wise. It seems to me that they are still in that we're still trying to figure it out ourselves stage.
They got some cool ideas, that was.
They've got some cool ideas in theory and for tech demos.
Given their track record, though, they
agreed.
Come out with games that are like right. These are kind of like tech demo slash mini games that is an example of how you should use our technology.
And
that's all they need, I think.
Well, and I agree with you because, again, how they presented in the conference, again, it was all about the controller. They didn't ever once talk specs about the actual console. And literally, we only found that out after the conference by having other reporters there asking, what are the specs? And even then, the specs are loose kind of back-of-the-box specs that you would see on, you know, like a half-assed, you know, press release. I think Nintendo doesn't want to reveal the specs because my guess is the specs for this machine, based on how crazy, you know, that controller is, the specs for the actual machine are very much in line with probably the Xbox 360. And if people hear those specs, they're going to think this thing's already outdated.
Yeah.
And the genius of what Nintendo did is they avoided all of that. They showed off this highfalutin Nintendo controller, and that's all they talked about, and it's all anybody was actually talking about post-press conference and during the press conferences, you know, the controller. They kept a focus on the controller and the ingenuity that they were bringing with it. And so, I mean, it was a genius stroke on their part, but I am absolutely just curious as to the actual guts of that system. And something tells me Nintendo doesn't want to talk about that because they know if they do actually have to be put and compared to the existing systems, it's basically going to be we can do the same thing kind of system. And we all know the PS3 and the 360 probably have 2 more years left, if that, and they're going to be jumping.
I was going to go on to that. Like, I think kind of, you know, Microsoft and Sony were waiting to see what to see what Nintendo were doing, because they did so well last, you know, with the Wii. And I think Microsoft and Sony are kind of relaxing a little bit now, because Nintendo are kind of a year behind, if you think about it, you know, or a generation behind. You know, because, like, whatever Microsoft come out with and Sony come out with next, you know, like, Nintendo's just got to catch up. So I think like, by seeing the new Wii, it's kind of extended, like, the life cycle of the Xbox and the PS3. Because...
And it potentially has.
It's not as strong as people might have.
See, we don't know if it has or not, and this is, I think, the genius of what Nintendo did. By focusing on the controller and keeping the focus away from what's inside the box.
But like you say, the reason why they would do that is because it's not that great.
Well, that's what I'm imagining. That's the only thing I can think of why they would do that. But, I mean, hey, if it comes out and this thing has, you know, a gig and a half of RAM and it's got this advanced video card inside of it and all that stuff, then, hey, I'm starting to doubt that that's in there, because I think they would have plopped that right on a screen on stage if it had been. Yeah. Instead, they spent the whole time talking controller.
The signs are there as well with that spec that you've been given is to do with the fact that it's not got a hard drive in it, because we was talking last week before it might have a 250 gig hard drive, but it's not got that.
They dabbled a little bit there, and basically they said it's going to have a comparable online experience to – yeah. I mean, we already know that they're trying to move towards universal friend codes, so I'm guessing that's going to be the route they're going to go. You're going to have one code moving forward.
They need a service at least on par with PlayStation Network.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it definitely has. It definitely has online functionality built into it.
I know, but they like. I mean, the Wii does. If you want to be like,
true.
It's not great, and they need this day and age. You need your console to be online. You need to play with friends. You need to make it easy, and you need some kind of trophies or achievements. People like those things. It makes them buy things.
But so there's still definitely questions about the system, and I guess that was the thing that kind of came out to me.
They haven't revealed everything about it yet. No. They've still got things. When's it coming out?
The only thing they confirmed is after March 31st, 2012, and that was per Reggie in an interview with G4 TV.
Right.
So the, like, 2012, the earliest. Yeah. And, you know, again, I think that is, you know, like we said, it gives Microsoft and Sony both – time to breathe a sigh of relief and realize they can wait till at minimum we won't see a new system from either one of them until 2013 for sure now.
Yeah, like at least that E3 they'll talk about it. But you know, Xbox have already, like, Microsoft have already shown, like, you know, they're really stretching the Xbox. You know, they're making one more gig available on the disc, and you know, they're really desperate to kind of extend it, and with the Kinect and everything.
I'm guessing we hear from Microsoft next E3, new hardware, and they'll do it in a tactical kind of way to, one, try and beat Sony to the punch, but two, derail Nintendo. Because whatever specs they come out with, we'll know the Nintendo specs by then, and whatever they're putting out, I'm sure it's going to be more powerful. Yeah. So, but okay, let's grade Nintendo. I mean, I'll go first. For me, I give them an A. I give them an A because, one, they absolutely did what they needed to do, and they positioned the new Wii U in a way that it had buzz. It had everybody talking about it. They captured the attention of everybody with not only the fact of, you know, of this new crazy controller that looked like it had all kinds of, you know, capabilities, but also, you know, there was mystery to it still. You know, so many people were like, is it a controller? Is it a console? You know, they had that kind of buzz going. And it wasn't bad. It was all positive buzz. I didn't hear anybody, you know, saying, oh my God, it's just a controller. It was all very positive spin buzz. So I would say, for me, Nintendo probably won the show.
Again.
Rich, why don't you give a quick grade? Nintendo, what do you think?
I'll give them a B+ for effort, definitely. I think they did exactly the same as what they did last year, where they didn't really have that much meat in what they were showing you, but what they did show you made everybody go, wow, that's absolutely brilliant, and they've done what they wanted to do, got everybody talking about it. So, yeah, exactly the same as last year, I think.
Okay, and Chris, what about you? What do you think of Nintendo?
Not much.
Brilliant.
I'm not a Nintendo guy. What can I say? I think they picked a horrible name for their new console. I hope they change it because it just sounds silly. But maybe it is going to push the level of hardware up in the rest of the business, and maybe that's good. I don't know. Whatever.
All right. Mike, what about you?
I'll give him an A.
Is it a reluctant A?
Well, I was thinking it might be an A minus because, you know, you announce new hardware, you bring it on the stage, you know, you put it there on its own, on a podium or whatever, or you hold it up and you go, this is the new shit and this is, you're going to buy this. And they didn't do that, according to you, which is weird. I think that's a weird move.
I mean, they didn't. That was the beauty of what they did.
Did they bring the controller on the stage?
They had the controller on the stage. Yes, they showed it off a bunch.
They have to put the new console on there as well. It's confusing.
See, that's the thing is the console is a very small box.
So
it isn't sexy. I know, but it does. It's not sexy. It doesn't have any flashing lights to it, and I think the reality is they wanted the attention on the control, and they got the attention on the controller.
You still put it on the stage, though. Come on. Even if they put it on the stage and pick up the controller and go, look at this. Not that thing. Look at this. I don't know. Seems like a bit of a weird move. A minus.
All right. A minus. Done. All right. So I guess from here, we're going to dive into community mailbag. And, you know, we'll next week we'll talk about third-party games, and we'll kind of wrap up E3 next week. We won't worry about that right now. So right now,
the EA and Ubisoft things and all that.
Yeah, let's dive into the old community mailbag. All right, so community mailbag. Skull, we didn't really, I mean, we had a question of the week, but I forgot to post it. I think you forgot to post it. We kind of ignored it. And
I didn't want to post it because I knew how long we'd be talking about this.
See, I go away for a little while and you just start falling apart.
Yeah.
Freaking chicken shit.
So that all said, I mean, the question of the week was what, Skull?
I don't know. What was the question?
what games are you most excited about to hear at E3? The beauty of it is, because we've run so long, we don't have any tweets. We don't have any forum posts for this. We do have two emails. So I'll take the first email. And Mike, I'll let you take the second one.
Well done, Greg. Well done, you.
All right. So first one is from Mr. Mark Wright. We also know him as Mr. Marcanix. And he said, good evening, chaps. Firstly, I would like to thank you again for letting me guest host on last week's show. I really enjoyed it, and I'm here if you ever need me again. Mark, we loved having you on the show as well. You filled in nicely, so thank you.
I didn't, Mark. Stay off my show, son.
And in true fashion, Mark the Professional comes through. He says, so E3, here's my brief summary. Brief is probably in the eye of the beholder, I think. Microsoft liked Kinect integration into some games like Future Soldier and Mass Effect 3. Loved the reveal of four-player co-op on Future Soldier. Hated the look of the new Fable Kinect-controlled game. Not sure on the Star Wars Kinect game. Seems to be some control lag issues. But I'm sure that will be sorted out before release. I wouldn't be so sure. Disappointed, no showing of Battlefield 3 on the 360. Interesting side note, I guess he goes into this. Never mind. He says, but I didn't expect it as EA are more with Sony as Microsoft is with Activision. And I guess E3 has said they're not going to be demoing Battlefield 3 on the 360 at E3. So, boom, there you go. I was also disappointed not to see the new Kinect Nightmare game, as was I. Not too fussed about yet another Halo trilogy, and also can 343 Studios deliver the same multiplayer experience we had from Bungie. Also not that fussed about an HD remake of Halo CE. Like the trailer of for Overstrike, which is the new Insomniac game. Looks fun, four-player.
Is that a multi-platform one?
It is. It is their multi-platform.
What is it? Is it a first-person shooter or?
It is a, I think, third-person shooter. But it's basically four-player co-op, comedic, hardcore shooter.
Oh, okay. I think I've seen a picture of it. Yeah.
Yeah, it, look up the trailer. It's got some good laughs in it. He said, loved the new Tomb Raider reboot trailer. Yeah. Gears 3 looked like, well, more Gears. I was waiting for two more players to pop up and reveal four-player co-op, but sadly, no. So was I, Marcanix. I was
they
surprised.
Should have brought out, like, they should have brought out 50 Cent and Eminem as the other two. Bless him.
And he says, finally, Forza 4. Ooh, I just did a sex wee. Sony, admired straight away getting the outage mentioned and dealt with. Actually liked the new PS Vita, apart from the shitty name. Pleasantly surprised by the price point, too. I thought it would cost way more than the PS3, but it's fractionally less. Uncharted 3 looks awesome. Sony seemed to have trumped Microsoft's attempt to get all new Activision DLC a month early by getting nearly every other publisher to give them exclusive content and levels, like Batman, Bioshock Infinite, Assassin's Creed Revelations. I'm pretty jealous, as I know I will get all the games on the 360. Still not that keen on PS Move. Nintendo, oh dear, where to start? So as soon as the Wii U, another shitty name, was revealed, I was left wondering, is it just a controller? Is it a new console? What the fuck?
Yeah.
They kept saying new controller, but then near the end, some publishers like Peter Moore said the new console and new controller. Talk about Nintendo being lost in translation. The 3DS stuff didn't really wow me, and to be honest, neither did the Wii U, although I do like the concept of it. I can't see small kids getting to grips with that controller like they did with the Wiimotes, as their little hands would struggle with the big-ass unit. That's a pretty fair point. I do think that Nintendo definitely made a good move getting some decent titles and publishers on board with the new console, controller, whatever. If they didn't have the support, then I reckon it would flop big time. It didn't wow me enough to even consider it taking over my 360 or even my PS3 for that matter, as they didn't mention anything about Blu-ray playback, etc. Well, I will leave it there, as I can imagine it will be a long show tonight with E3. Take care, guys, and catch you soon online. Mark, PS, don't forget, if you need me for any other podcasts, call me Lulz. Thank you, Mark. Great synopsis. I think we shared some of your sentiments. I think maybe Nintendo struck maybe a little more of a chord with us than with you, but I think you made some fair points about Nintendo. So.
I never thought about the big fat controller with the kids.
Yeah, size of the controller.
And old people are going to look at that controller and they're just going to go, blah, 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 think so.
Yeah, it is one of the funniest things that I hear people talking about how like the Wiimote and the PS Move are supposed to be more user-friendly experiences for casual gamers. And I think about that and I'm like, you've got two wands, you know, sub-controller with buttons and triggers. I'm like, how is that possibly more user-friendly?
But the Wii U still has like the Wiimote functionality, so they can still sell those kind of like, you know, you're hitting a tennis ball or whatever. So.
Meh. Anyway. Well, next.
Anyway. Yes, we got an email from Dave Hodgson, or Dave Dog, as we know him as, from the Playable Podcast.
Yes.
If you want to hear Dave, listen to that podcast. Hi, guys. Well, the main press dues are out of the way, and I don't think either of the manufacturers had that good of a show. Microsoft made it all about Kinect, although they had to really, let's face it, Sony made it about 3D, who cares, Move, meh, and the Vita, an overpriced handheld. And Nintendo made it about endless variants of Zelda, Mario, Luigi, things we've already seen a dozen other times, and a tablet controller that looked like it was made by VTech or Tommy. For me, it's a toss-up between Mass Effect 3 demo and the Assassin's Creed demo for the best moments. What have been yours so far? Could you guys do the Playable podcast a big favour and share it, the Playable Playdate, which is Sunday. I'm taking it, yes, it's this Sunday, which is the 12th of June, and they're going to be playing Battlefield Bad Company 2.
I'm in.
He's put BST, which I'm guessing stands for British Standard Time, but it should be GMT. But, you know, bless him.
Bastard Standard Time.
Yeah, so Sunday 1 p.m. if you want to play some Bad Company 2. Yeah, join John Mayer and Dave Dog. They'll be playing it. I'll be in Isle of Wight, so I can't join, but never mind. So what have been the highlights? Very quickly, Greg, highlight, go.
Highlight for me had to be Tomb Raider. That just really took me.
Chris, highlight, what's your favorite moment of the three so far? Chris?
I didn't watch any of it, so I'm going to go with...
any of the trailers, any of them?
This show.
I was just going to say.
This show has been the best part of E3 for me so far. I was going to say the Tomb Raider trailer, but Greg took it, so I'm going to go with the Ghost Recon gun coolness. That was pretty sweet.
Rich?
That's it for me, definitely. The Ghost Recon. I've never played Ghost Recon, but I want to play it now. And I've not even seen any gameplay, so Kinect's done its job with that one.
I want to get Kinect!
Give me a Kinect!
Okay, calm down. I'll say Tomb Raider as well. Like, there's loads of other trailers, like Uncharted, everything looks great and all this. But Tomb Raider was like the shock, you know? Like, we finally got to see it this time, so.
A little one that I had was, I'm looking forward to the Minecraft. I quite see that working.
All right.
Dave Dog says, many thanks, Dave Dog. Done.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Dave Dog. Great email. And
well done.
Yeah, so question for show 120 next week. Mm-hmm. All we're saying is, hey, give us your quick E3 impressions, just like kind of Marcanix or Dave Dog did here. You know, what left an impression with you? Conferences, games, whatever.
Unlike Marcanix, we would like it to be brief.
Yeah. Good point, Chris. Good point.
Sorry, Mark.
Love you, Mark.
All right. We're on the home stretch now. Chris, community play dates, lead us out of here. Come on.
So we have mentioned that Betty Bear is indeed carrying on the torch of the Friday night races. So yeah, join in. They start at 11 p.m. Pacific time? No, 11 p.m. Eastern time. Yeah, 11 p.m. Eastern time. I can't stay up that late. I'm too old. Saturday, still have the ongoing inter-community Forza 3 challenge starting at 9 p.m. Pacific time, which is 12 a.m. Eastern time. And oh my God, early in the U.K. It is indeed. What was that, 5 a.m.? Yeah. Yep. Good job.
Well, see, done. 5 a.m. really is gross mountain time.
It is gross mountain time. June 12th, you've got some choices. There's the F1 championship on some track that I can't pronounce in Korea and in Brazil, so have fun with that. And also the aforementioned Battlefield Bad Company 2 playdate June 12th at 1 p.m., and it is indeed Greenwich Mean Time. And if you want to get down with the veteran gamers at veterangamers.co.uk, you should go check it out. It's awesome. They'll be playing something Sunday at 6 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. And if you want to find out what it is, well, you're just going to have to listen to the show. Happy birthday to Charles, Greggy, Dana, and V Brutality V. And welcome to the new members, E for Life 66 and Geezer Cheeks.
It's Dana's birthday.
Yes.
Hey.
Happy birthday.
Nor I.
I thought he was older than 32.
So did I, but I didn't want to say that because I didn't want to offend
him. That's only because he owned you with his helicopter so many times in Bad Company 2. He is wicked on the helicopter. Anyway, yeah. And that's it.
Cool. So iTunes reviews, Zune reviews, I checked them. You guys suck.
Might be
why we don't have any.
I don't know if that's ingratiating us to our audience, Greg.
No, probably not. Give us an iTunes review. I mean, screw the Zune. You don't even have to do the Zune. Just give us the iTunes review.
Nobody has a Zune anyway.
I have a Zune.
Greg has a Zune.
Like I said, nobody has a Zune anyway.
Damn it. All right, if you wanted to email the show, Mike, what would the email address for this show be?
The email address would be ocpodcast@gmail.com. ocpodcast@gmail.com.
Simple. Done. Rich. Tweeting. The old Twitter.
Yes, at oc_podcast.nothing.
Dot nothing. Brilliant. All right.
I know there's some people tweeting oc_podcast.nothing now and being like, that user does not exist.
Figure it out.
Funny, Rich.
We have faith. Mike, why don't you start up the shout outs?
I'm going to shout out the gay community. This is not a joke. Because every time you say gate, it sounds like gay, right? So right. I reckon there's a gay community listening to the podcast going, oh, they're not shouting us. So this is a shout out to the gay community. Go you. Well done for being gay and looking at it.
Rainbow Coalition Unite?
Yeah, Rainbow.
Pass.
Guys, Rich, you go.
Yeah, I just want to shout out Granger Games, a new shop with a business-minded genius who's just opened up in the middle of Victoria Centre.
Granger Games, talk to me. What you got?
Yeah, well, they've set up a brilliant shop, bright yellow, attracting all the customers in and everything. There's just one flaw, though. It's directly opposite Game.
Oops.
Ow.
Let's see how long it lasts.
That'll be where the competition is.
Greg?
Yeah.
That might work out for them.
Might, sure. Yeah. My shout out, I'm going to say a big shout out to DaveDog2K5, Marcanix, and The Real Defoe, and you know what? JSS Lifelike as well, because they all have filled in admirably for you guys in your absences over the past few weeks. And very much appreciate them taking the time, staying up late when it mattered.
It's really nice to hear Mark and Dave on the show. I don't know about that Real Defoe guy, though.
Yeah, he's a character.
These Americans taking over.
Yeah, and that Conger guy. Well, you know, we know about him.
He's on the Dead Space podcast. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I know. I listen to your show. I listen to the other show.
I need to finish Dead Space first before I listen to that. So I thought.
Chris, shout-outs, go.
I'm going to shout out you three clowns because I haven't seen you in a while. Actually, I haven't seen you. I'd never see you. I'd talk to you in this Skype thing.
You saw me once.
I did once. It was scary. Yes. I'm going to shout out my cadets because they're trying really, really hard.
You've thrown many grenades at them.
And, they're probably enjoying a day when I'm taking a day off, and then they'll see me again tomorrow and be like, he's back. Almost done.
Awesome.
That's me.
All right. Well, I have a nice little computer tech support call to finish us out here.
Nice. Is it Arnold calling Gateway?
No.
CPU is a neural net processor learning computer. No, that's not it?
No.
Sorry.
No. So here's how it goes. Tech support. Okay. Now right click. Customer. Which one's that? Tech support. On the right side of the mouse. Customer. I'm left-handed. Tech support. Uh-huh. Okay, well, look at the mouse and click whichever button you normally don't click on. Customer. That's the left for me. Tech support. Okay, click that. Customer. With which hand?
Jesus.
It's important. Sometimes you're using a Windows machine to use the right hand, or sometimes a toe. It's important.
We're out of here.
We are. Peace.
Bye.
You just come back from a war, Chris.
Running around in the woods with cadets throwing grenades.
Hello. Thank you for calling. No one is currently available.
Why is he doing that?
Because Primrose, he's done something with his Skype.
Is it because he's on busy?
Uh.
I'll tell him to take himself up, is he? Yo, take yourself
up. Yeah.
I threw in a bastard just to be
cheeky bastard. So you gotta call him cheeky.
Uh-huh. And then, or you know, insert the photo if you have it, you know,
uh-huh,
available, and it should do it right in there.
So I gotta do them one at a time.
Yeah.
Well, that's a pain in the balls.
True. You so can just save this for later.
How do I delete them all? I don't want to save it for later.
Just click on it to highlight it, and then hit delete.
Because I'm going. Oh yeah, I could delete the whole gallery. I'm going back to the woods tomorrow, so I won't be, you know, near the internet.
Ah.
Primrose.
Yeah.
How you doing?
All right. How you doing?
How's it going?
It's going all right.
Good. If I ever come to visit you one day, Chris, can I throw grenades at cadets?
If I have some grenades and some cadets, yes.
Now, wait a minute. Chris, would not, because he is a foreign citizen, that be considered like an act of war?
Only if he didn't ask my permission first.
Okay.
Is that how terrorism works?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, we ready? And how the hell did Chris get Prices Right in his head?
Because you started talking about sound effects, man.
Okay.
We always do Prices Right for the new releases, so don't judge me.
Did any of you actually watch the press conferences?
No.
I watched the Microsoft one. All
right, so Rich, you watched the Microsoft?
On deathandgamers.co.uk, you'll see my live blog of the Sony one. I can read a bit of it out if you like on the show.
Yeah, go. Well, you're more than welcome to. So you watched the Sony one, and nobody else but me watched the Nintendo one, correct?
Well, that worked out well. So yeah. Rich just watched the... And Chris didn't do anything. He just threw grenades.
He just threw grenades at cadets.
He did a sensible thing and just waiting for the news to come to him.
He's waiting for you, clowns.
By the way, I saw my ass today.
That's funny.
By the way,
I interrupted Rich trying to interrupt Greg. That's funny.
By the way, what, Rich? I saw my what?
I sold my ass today.
Oh, did you?
Ooh.
Where are you recording from?
Street corner.
Have you broke into an internet cafe?
Down at the library.
I'm currently living in the sewers.
Oh, sorry. Da-da-da-da. Oh, damn it.
Hi, I'm already in the choir.
Or not.
We have got the old of the V3 to do, haven't we? Still?
Yes, we do.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, fuck.
We'll try and go through it somewhat quick.
Nah, fuck it.
I think Pamela just laughed at us. Did you hear it? Maybe it was just a little Skypey, but it sounded like she was laughing.
Is Primrose back?
No.
Primrose. Now, let's start without him.
Fuck him.
I'll never learn.